listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
God, we need a cab. One lousy cab. Yes.
All right, Mike.
He's asking where to.
Oh, God.
He just means which airport, that's all. Kennedy. JFK.
Oh, Jesus. The goddamn airport!
What, do you got shit in your ears? Come on!
All right, now, easy. He may be a guest in our country. Friend. Kennedy. Here, look. Kennedy Airport. Look. Yeah. He's got it.
Oh, great. And why don't you take us straight to Sing Sing?
Please don't say that. You're going to upset Lewis.
Oh, God forbid.
What at her door?
Huh? It's Fred! Stop! Stop! You don't even understand colors, do you? You don't know red from hell.
Red from it. Spain.
There's a real cabin. Stop. Taxi.
We're gonna bust up that stage like a high school kegger. We're just gonna outwit LaFour's X-Men style.
Should I call you Logan Weapon X?
No, Wolverine. Snickety, snickety, snoring.
What he's doing is imitating Wolverine's berserker attack with his adamantium claws.
See me, represent.
Never would have guessed.
Come on.
It's an emergency. We gotta get the hell out of here.
The army evacuated everybody.
Evacuated?
A big military train derailed, and this whole area is in danger of being contaminated by a huge cloud of
shit.
A huge cloud of shit? Wow.
God, I think I smell it. Come on, let's go. Come on, Mr. Munson.
Claudia?
Hey, everybody, there's a shit cloud coming. Run for your lives.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Boogers and Dynamite and all that stuff. It's time for Nowhere, Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Thank you very much. It's Friday. Film, television, pop culture, all that kind of stuff that I say every week. But, and I'm saying it again, we have here Steven the Pop Culture Zealot!
Woohoo!
How you doing, Steven?
Good, good, good.
And I am the J-Strom. I may have forgotten to introduce myself. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent. Greetings and salutations.
All right. You know, I saw Christian Slater has himself a new show, and I was like, greetings.
How the hell does that happen?
I don't know, but I watched the show waiting for him to just say that. Can he just say that on every episode? Like, it's just his tagline?
I'd like to know how he hops from one canceled show to, well, I guess another eventually.
I know. I just want every scene him to walk in and someone go, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And him just go, greetings and salutations. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I watch this show. But he doesn't
do it. Love George Cuffs.
He doesn't do it, though, guys. And you know what? I was thinking about that today, Bill. Why isn't there a Cuffs TV series? Wouldn't you watch that?
I probably would.
I would totally watch a George Cuffs show. They should totally have that. Man.
We just have to figure out. Maybe Christian Slater can be in the opening where he plays the brother that's killed, and then
yeah.
The younger Cuffs takes over.
They should have an open door policy at every network where they would have like a Cuffs TV series ready.
Seem to have an open door policy for assholes.
Oh, well, that too.
It totally sounds like I set that up, doesn't it? No, but seriously, guys, welcome to the show. It's awesome. We're going to talk about Smallville, and we're going to talk about Dollhouse. Woo-hoo. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, woo! Yeah! When the show ends, you know, Smallville ends, I'm like, yes, it was awesome! It's back! Not really. I can't lie to you people. But
same for Dollhouse.
Yeah, but, it's just kind of like, oh, they're back, and we can talk about it.
Oh, man.
It's like the excitement ends. This is a show that's
good for them.
It's like, okay, I'm coming down for my excitement. But
yeah, I hit my DVR on Sunday. I was messing around. I was like, holy cow, I got Smallville on here. I didn't realize it was still tagged.
You never removed the tag on it.
Yeah, me neither. And you know what's funny is we'll talk about Smallville later, but
I was just excited because it was on there.
Yeah,
and
I was like,
I'm going to have to.
We got some shit to talk about in the show next week, but we'll get to that later. Guys, the Mulberry Book Club is happening right now. You could join at any time. All you got to do is pick up a book and read it. Yeah? Right now,
it just has to be one of the first four Dark Tower books.
Yes, and right now we are reading Wizard and Gloss. Bill, I wanted to say it like Mohinder would. Wizard and Gloss.
Wizards.
But it's
Father's Research of Wizards and Gloss.
Or Wizard and Glass. Wizard and Glass. Yeah, I'm reading it. Bill, guess which page I'm on right now of Wizard and Glass. Can't even say it now.
110.
Nope, I've been a reading fool this week.
Really?
I'm proud of myself. Nope. Higher.
Wow.
Higher.
400.
I'm on page exactly 500 today.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
I haven't even started it. I'm going to have to get to reading, man.
I was just like, I've got to start reading this book. So I've been like making every free moment I've had.
Yeah, but Bill,
I've been
Bill
reading
can,
it.
Bill reads. Bill reads fast, it seems.
I can if I dedicate myself to it. See, what I've been doing with the other books that I've been reading about maybe 30 minutes a day, and I realized that's not enough with this book. I need to read an hour to 2 hours a day.
What is it, about 800 pages or better?
It's 627 pages about, isn't it, Bill? So
mine is a little smaller with some smaller print. I think mine – mine must be larger because it's over 700.
Well, it's like
– I have 718 in mine.
Last week sometime, I started reading it like my usual books, and then I was like, I need to step this shit up because it's going to be like November by the time I finish, so – So, Bill, get cracking on that, and I can't wait to talk about the book with you.
I've just been playing Ion too much. Play it in all my free time. I play it.
Explain
so.
What Ion is, because I'm still not really sure what the premise.
It's just
of it is.
An MMO, and its whole premise is there was a world that was connected, and then it was split apart, and now I joined the Asmodian side, which are the dark people, and then there's the Ilios, which are the light people.
Now, is this more fantasy or kind
of
science fiction?
Yeah, it's definitely more fantasy, but it's kind of got like a sci-fi tinge to it.
Nice.
But it's just an MMO. It's like World of Warcraft, but cooler and prettier.
Nice. Well, remember, I watched that show, Second Skin, that documentary, so just be careful, all right?
If I become too attached to my character and it dies, I might die too. So
right, just like Dungeons & Dragons. You ever hear about that? Guy's character died. He jumped out a window, Steve, and killed himself. Mm-hmm. It's really sad. Every town had that story. Yeah. But, guys.
Not Starkleaf.
While we're talking about the book show, Adam had a voicemail just about The Gunslinger. He's finally got to listen to that, and let's check out what he has to say.
What's up, Mulberry guys? This is Adam, California. Just finally listened to the enhanced feed of the first Dark Tower book, The Gunslinger, or The Book Slinger. It was very good. I enjoyed it very much, and it was kind of weird. Like, I hadn't listened to the book, because I listened to the audiobook, but I hadn't listened to it in so long that it was kind of like weird, but then my memory was refreshed as I was listening to you guys talk about it and stuff, but it was good. I like the idea about using Sawyer from Lost. I was like, when you guys said that, I was like, oh man, yes, that totally makes sense. I could totally see that. But oddly enough, I know this is sad, but the whole time I was listening to the audiobook, I kept picturing Tom Selleck from Quigley Down Under.
Oh, awesome.
That's not, I know it's just not right, but I kind of pictured a guy with facial hair more than Quigley Down Under.
That's such a great movie. Well, it's not, but it's.
Yeah, and I also, the intro music that your dad did, Jason, that was really, really cool. I was like, when it first played, I just figured that you got that from somewhere, from, you know, like The Gunslinger or like a different audiobook that I listened to or something, but it was really cool. I was like, whoa, awesome. His dad did that? That's cool. So anyways, I just want to drop you guys a line to let you know that I listened to it, and now I'm really, really jazzed and juiced up to go get the next book downloaded and listen to it and listen to the next show. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Adam. Yeah, I think I mentioned it before that I enhanced podcasted, however you say it. I did enhanced versions of the book shows that we previously did. And that's cool that anybody at any time, you know, it's like you don't have to be on Wizard and Glass yet. You could be on Drawing of the Three because you can download the shows at any time and just catch up with us like that. It's awesome.
Yeah, I just saw on Facebook, Rick from the Amazing Comic Cast is reading Drawing of the Three. So it's so very cool to see people who are fans and our friends on Facebook are getting involved.
It is really cool. And you know what? I think back fondly to that book when I was reading it. It's an awesome book. So
it really
cool.
is. It opens so much to the world of the gunslinger, of Roland, of Gilead.
I think when Rick said that, yeah, I'm getting towards the end and everything's getting really building up, really exciting, I was kind of jealous because I loved that time when I was reading it, not knowing what the hell was going to happen. So great. It's totally cool, dude. Thanks for reading that and being part of the book club.
I still can't believe that we're on book 4.
I know.
Like, it just...
It's crazy, man. Totally crazy. Now, we also have a voicemail from Ross. Let's check that out, huh? Huh, Steven?
Ross, a new one.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Ross from America, hot off of my 34th hour of Nowhere in Mulberry Old School this week.
Holy shit.
I decided to do a rock block of Nowhere in Mulberry this week, and I got to tell you, I'm ready to do another one next week. That's how much I enjoyed it. But the problem is I am rapidly running out of content. So if you guys could crank out another 200 shows, I would really appreciate that.
I'm calling
because I wanted to tell you I finished watching The Colony like you guys did. And I really enjoyed that show. The one thing that I do think they need to do next year is address the massive amounts of death that would be there that they didn't really have to deal with in this one. I think that would kind of change the
cadavers
their
everywhere.
Outlook on the whole thing. If
I
they
think
had
that
all
would
these
be great.
Bodies that they had to deal with, because you know, if there was a massive outbreak or something like that, they would they'd have a lot of death to deal with. But other than that, it was a great show. I thought the ending was a little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I really, on the episode before, got annoyed by the marine biologist girl who, you know, all she really did the
marine
whole
biologist.
The whole season was get her feelings hurt. I thought that was kind of annoying.
What about
she didn't
when she
really
delivered
bring
the baby
anything
whale?
The entire
that was
show
a good
except for that one fishing net, that one time. And then she gets all mad because
she made,
you know,
chalk out of plankton that one episode.
Or something like
that.
I thought that was kind of ridiculous. But keep up the good work with the show.
Mm-hmm.
I am really enjoying it. But you guys do need to come out with your own brand of Mulberry merchandise, because I could really go for, you know, a Mulberry Letterman jacket or seat cushion right now.
Seat cushion?
I want to congratulate and welcome my sister to watching or to listening to your show. She informed me that she decided to subscribe to you guys this week. So
cool.
After much, you know, cajoling on my part, she is starting to listen to you. So, hi. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
Hi.
Thanks, Ross. That's awesome. Spreading the wealth, as they say.
I never quite understood why they had all these different people from different professions and then a marine biologist.
Yeah, it's
like they were going to go to the beach and pull golf balls out of whales' blowholes.
We had engineers, we had nurses, doctors, scientists, and a marine biologist. It's like,
she had nothing to do. No one paid any attention to her.
Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? Where she's like, guys, there's a whale over here. It's about to give birth. Guys, I'm a marine biologist. Oh, I'll be right over.
I'll be right there.
Dude, boil some water. Stat.
Need some newspapers. Clean towels.
It's like,
get some sheets.
That
okay, you
awesome.
Grab his fin. Push.
Yeah, we need something to rhyme with our chalkboard. Did you know that they use plankton to make chalk? Guys, I know how to do that. They do the whole thing, like, the way to make chalk.
We can get L.A. River plankton.
Yeah.
L.A. River.
That would have been awesome. But no, that didn't happen. Now, Adam, later on this week, sent another voicemail. This one about last week's episode. Like, he was listening while he's working, and he just had to call in excited. And I love voicemails like this, so let's check it out.
Oh, my goodness. I was just listening to Rick's voicemail. Sorry, I'm at work, and I just carried a bunch of stuff up some stairs. But, man, it's so funny, his review on X-Men Origins. I have to see this movie now just to experience how terribly awful it is so I can know what everyone's talking about. But the comment about I'd rather swallow a box of tacks while being punched in the throat, hilarious. Just had to make sure Rick knew and that you guys knew that I was cracking up on the job site. All right, take it easy.
That was an awesome comment. I always think of that now.
We really appreciate the hell out of Rick. He's great.
Yeah, and you know what? Rick, he bought a new microphone, and he sent a voicemail this week, and it sounds fantastic.
So we didn't give him
awesome.
A movie last week to watch, did we?
No, we didn't. He was like,
no, we forgot.
What movie did you guys pick for me? And I was like, oh, shit. And I was just like, Highlander 2 or
that's
Fast
just
and the Furious
cruel.
Or something. And yeah, he didn't want to do those. I don't blame him. I joke about Highlander 2. I never want to sit through that shit again.
We should have him watch Razorback. I mean, he's Australian. Why not do Razorback?
Well, I don't know. A movie maybe we're familiar with. Like, I haven't watched that in years. Maybe, okay, is there anything in DVDs maybe we could pick for him later? Or
yeah, you know what? We need to try and concentrate on that.
This is what we should do every week. Like, the very end of the show, you know, who knows what we'll talk about or reference during over the course of the show. So we should always pick it at the end of the show. That way, maybe we will have talked about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, we need to start a fund where we can all do a commentary with Rick.
Like, yeah.
Maybe they could send us to Australia. Listeners, start donating hundreds of dollars,
you know,
now.
I totally do want to do a Wolverine commentary.
Man, that movie's painful.
Wolverine, snickety, snickety, snowing.
Exactly. Now, okay, let's go ahead and check out Rick's voicemail. And again, we're sad we didn't give him a movie to watch, but that's okay. He's got his brand new microphone, and I think it sounds fantastic. Because did you guys notice last week it didn't sound that good? It was like this staticky sound. That's okay, Rick. It's all the way from Australia. I don't expect by the time it gets over here for it to sound that good.
It's that digital degradation.
Yeah, as it's going through the wires to the email.
Pulling up pieces of bits of data.
Breaking off. By the time it gets here, it's just a little tiny, speck.
Little data stream.
You can't control the fish from eating it.
Yeah. So let's check this out.
It's time for Rick's review. Come get his review.
Oh, he's giving himself a theme song.
Is it Seinfeld? What the?
It's time for my review.
Hey guys, it's Rick here. How did you like that intro? It's pretty shitty, eh? Yeah, it was. You don't need to lie. Okay.
Pictured him in a purple pimp coat.
You forgot to give me a movie. Do you know how many takes I usually do on this voicemail? Friggin' heaps, eh? Most of the time I'm drunk, so I stutter or stumble over my words. So I'll just, stop, go back, and then say what I just said again. Anyway, I'm not going to do it this time. This one's going to be all in one take, or I'm not going to redo shit I've already said. So it's going to be stuttering galore. First up, I've got to give kudos to Jason for the intros lately. They've been really good. You can tell you're putting a lot more effort in, and it shows. So
it's the same effort. What?
I'd say keep it up because
you're
going to get some more fans because of it. Because anyone who just starts listening for the first time will hear these intros. I was like, man, that's some funny shit. I want to listen to the rest of this, and then more.
That's what I'm hoping.
And then more, and then they'll do that. Maybe they will. I don't even know. Okay, that's what Jason said. Oh, you could do Fast and Furious or Highlander 2. And I didn't want to. I've seen Fast and the Furious a while ago, and I'm not keen on watching it again to do a voicemail for it. If I have to do it by memory, it wouldn't be that good because I've tried to forget a lot of it as soon as it happened, especially the tunnel sequence, which they had to do twice in the movie for some reason. They need to be done twice.
Oh, the first time
F that movie in the brown without any lube.
I'm sorry,
that was uncalled for.
Oh, Rick, wow.
I also like to apologize for the lot of swearing I do. Because I never said any swear word until I was 23, I'm kind of making up for lost time by swearing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I've been trying to cut down because it doesn't improve your life if you swear a lot.
Could.
I don't think it makes it any worse either, but what do I know? I haven't done any research about it lately, so I need to get back into it. Plus, I am using my new condenser microphone I got, so let me know if it sounds any better. If not, I'll go back to the internal mic from my Mac.
No, don't go back to that one.
This microphone cost me $7 from Hong Kong.
Nice.
Postage was $11, so postage was more than what it actually cost.
Wow.
Obviously, because 7 is less than 11. Ugh. But it's pretty crackly in parts, but well, you tell me if it's any better, because it looks good, and that's why I use it. Well, that's why I want to use
matters.
It. But in life, you pay for what you get. $7 microphone, it's going to be crap. Plain and simple. Pretty sure everyone knows that. But I always try to get a cheap bargain. Why do I always do it? I don't even know why.
Just because.
And also I've been watching Fringe. I'm up to date and loving the new stuff.
Nice.
So I can't wait to hear some more Fringe talk from this episode. And The Mentalist. I've been getting into that show as well.
Awesome show.
It's just a real fun show. Real fun show.
God, that
that's all I can say about
so hot.
It. Fun show.
Simon Baker's Australian, isn't he?
Yeah.
Man, I wish I could just cut that bit out and say it again. But I promise I wouldn't.
Yeah, you won't.
I didn't promise. I didn't promise anybody anything. You ain't the boss of me. Sorry. I'm getting defensive too quickly. Without you, I'm nothing. Wow. That's not true. I'm a loving husband, so my wife would disagree
right
with that
now?
Statement.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, she's hot, real hot. Anyway, I love her.
That's good.
What are you doing, Rick? Stupid, stupid voicemail. You need to give me a movie to review, or I'm lost. All right, and it's got to be like a. This movie is you. I want to know what you think, because you know if you just go this or that, I don't give a shit. Sorry. Oh god. So many times, I just want to cut it out, start again. But no, I'm not going to do it this time. So you know what it would really be like if I didn't do that. And it's sad, isn't it? Disappointed? I am I'm a bit disappointed, yeah. I'm not going to start again now because it's too late. So this was Rick. Rick from Australia.
It's so sad.
The power, I say something.
Oh, well, thanks, Rick.
The new microphone is great.
Yes. Yeah.
And don't be so sad.
Yeah, Rick, we're so sorry. We failed Rick, basically.
No, Rick, without you, we're nothing.
Yeah.
He broke down without our guidance.
You know what's funny is on The Mentalist last week, there's a part where he buys strawberries, but he goes, hey, look, strawberries. And I was like,
yes.
Dude, his Australian totally came out there because...
Yep, it did come out.
Because we say strawberries. Strawberries.
Strawberries.
But he said strawberries.
Yeah.
Strawberries.
Everything with us is like long,
yeah.
Like vowelish.
We have plenty of time. We're lazy Americans.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah,
or if you're Southern, it becomes more elongated.
Strawberries.
Strawberries. That's,
yeah, because they have so much time.
But I like that. Strawberries. Strawberries.
But yeah, you just got to get shit done, you know?
But thank you very much, Rick, and we'll pick a movie for you this episode.
Sorry for letting you down.
Yeah, I'll find something
week.
In DVDs.
We were excited about Smallville and Dollhouse.
Yeah,
we
were just like, I don't know. But
honestly, I was freaking tired last week.
Yeah, we're really tired.
I don't know why. It probably came through in the show, but I was dragging ass.
No problem, Bill. We're going to give you a code name, though.
Did I call you Logan Weapon X?
Weapon 10! All right, guys, let's check out the train merch! Huh? That was the demon inside me speaking, so sorry about that, guys. Now, finally, Zombieland came out. It looks like it's getting pretty decent reviews. And, you know, Bill, I was thinking about this. Like, 28 days later, like... You can get into a semantic debate that they're not zombies,
yeah,
you know?
It's a virus.
It's a virus. Yeah. Or what I want to know is it's called Zombieland, but are they undead or are they, I haven't seen the movie, but do they have some kind of virus or something? I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what rules they're playing by because obviously they've chosen fast zombies.
Right.
So...
And a lot of times people could say, oh, they're fast zombies because they're not dead. What they have a horrible virus or there's a toxic waste spill or some shit like that.
Well, that's why I can swallow the 28 days, 28 weeks later movies.
Right.
You know, they're just suspenseful action horror.
Right. The thing that drove me nuts about the second one is those
viral
little shit kids caused everything.
Yes.
It just gets on my nerves that they cause all this mayhem just by being little dumbasses. But that's what I'm wondering about this. And, you know, every clip that I see, it looks like just a wacky zombie movie. Like, just goofy. You know, I'm not sure it's supposed to be serious or whatever, but...
I'm sure it's not supposed to be serious.
No, I know. Not at all. I mean, it's got Woody Harrelson playing dueling banjos for a zombie or whatever, but...
And I've read all about the incredible cameo in it.
I've seen that too, and nobody, I don't know if I saw the movie it would surprise me or whatever, but it's kind of lame that people come right out with it like that.
Yeah,
well,
you know what, if I didn't know about it, I probably would have thought it was funny, but even if I know about it, I don't think it's a big enough plot point for people to go, oh, you spoiled that.
Yeah, it's probably like Sean Connery and Robin Hood. Remember that? With Kevin Costner, all of a sudden, Sean Connery's there. He's the king. You know?
I'm the king, baby.
It's like, what the hell is Sean Connery doing in the movie? You know? So I don't know what I'm talking about. Whoa, holy
Robin
shit.
Robin of Locksley.
I'm Robin of Locksley, and my men are thirsty. That's my favorite part of that.
No, I'm Robin Locksley.
My men are thirsty. I'm
My
English.
Men are thirsty.
That's the only part in Robin Hood, Men in Tights. That's the only part I laugh at where he goes, Unlike other Robin Hoods, I speak with an English accent. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah,
I always thought that was great. But that movie is horrible. Yes. Sucks.
No, you know what? Blinken made me laugh out loud every time he was in a scene.
That one line, that's all it does for me. But okay, Bill, here's what I want to talk about. A new trailer came out this week for a movie called Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know if some people who are young, who listen to the show, don't know what we're talking about, but it's this scary movie with this guy Freddy. He's got claws, right, Steven?
That's so hard to even wrap my mind around.
Claws,
that
or
there's people that listen to the show that wouldn't be completely familiar with the original film series.
Well, yeah, they're so young, they're just more into, like, fairy tales and stuff like that.
Sorry, kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.
Oh, my God. No!
Oh, my God.
I always get so upset whenever the wizard master dies, Steven. I cry. I turn the movie off. I'm like,
What's that part three where, like, the spider crawled in the one guy's ear and, like, grew
his
something?
The spider was he was deaf.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Was it that one?
There was just something weird going on with the ears that always made
me... It wasn't Dream Warriors. It must have been the fourth one, I think. Because remember, in the third one, there was a guy who was mute, and the chick's tongue comes out or whatever.
Yeah.
That part is hilarious.
You know, even though the movies are stupid, there are still moments in it that make me like...
No, there was one of them where the guy was deaf and his hearing aid turned into this thing and dug into
his head.
Yeah,
that's the one. That's the one. Okay.
Awesome. Now, The Nightmare on Elm Street, it has Rorschach as Freddy. No, it's Jackie Earl Haley as Freddy. And it looks pretty cool from the beginning of it. It's like the origin of Freddy. The dude's running and Connie Britton. Apparently it's Dillon, Texas where this is happening, I guess.
Well, it looks like a run-down post-apocalyptic Dillon, Texas.
Yeah,
then.
Coach Taylor's throwing a Molotov through the window or something.
No, that's Clancy Brown.
Oh, okay. I just assumed that. So the Kurgan is throwing shit through the window. And,
no stitches on his neck, though, this time.
Happy Halloween, ladies.
I still... I think that the first Nightmare on Elm Street is a good movie. I mean...
It is.
It's creepy, and it's well done. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 is a friggin' disaster, I think. I don't even know what the hell's going on that. And, of course...
I haven't seen it in so long.
Dream Warriors is like the Citizen Kane of the Freddy. You know, come on, the Wizard Master. It's friggin' genius, right? So, what did you guys think of this trailer? Did you get to see it, Steven?
No, I haven't seen it yet. No.
Steven, I was most impressed with the opening. The stuff with the kids I could give a shit about. But that opening with the... It just opens up, and he's running, and you're like, who is that? And then it closes up, and you see it's Jackie Earl Haley.
Oh, he rips off his coat, and then you see the sweater. He's like, oh!
Yeah, that was a little much, but still, it was cool to go, oh, hey, look, the sweater.
That's so everyone in the audience goes, oh!
Oh, yeah.
And they do the 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
That always freaked me out.
And I could start singing that, and Heather would be like, stop it. And I'm like...
Yeah, totally.
3, 4, better luck. Stop it, Jason. 5, 6.
I'm I'm trying to wonder what's going on with this new version because it's like this mob is chasing him down, and he's like, "What did I do? I don't know what I did." And are they trying to make him a more like sympathetic anti-hero?
Right.
Because the original, he was a child molester.
Right, and the mom tells a story in the first one that they hunted him down and burned him alive, and that's why he looks like that, because he was a child molester and killer, wasn't he? He would kill the kids, too? So in this, I mean, what if he didn't do anything?
I think that would make it even better, that he didn't do anything, yet now he's hunting down the children of the people who killed him.
And then you see that they're all little shits, punks, it's like the cast of 90210 or something.
Yeah.
Then I would be rooting for Freddy, wouldn't you?
Totally. I think that's what the series needs now. You need to root for the killer.
Well, the killer essentially is getting even with the families that killed him for no reason.
Yeah.
I am the Wizard Master.
Yeah, like totally leave the child molestation part out of it.
Well, it could still be in there, but it's just not true.
Right.
That's good. Like, they've filed his family name.
Yeah.
Now it's like Krueger is like, oh, the child molester family.
And the fake story that he was the bastard son is all made up.
Oh, that was such a great story, though. It's
but
great,
I mean, it would be
for
a good...
family reunions. Be awesome. The bastard son. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo, okay? Let's do it. You ready, Steven?
I'm ready.
Oh, Toy Story 3D came out. That's pretty cool.
I've heard it's just really a gimmick, not worth it. Just watch it at home.
Yeah, I just want the Blu-ray, seriously.
Yeah, really. Come on. Just get off your ass already, Disney. I don't want Snow White. I have it on DVD.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, how much better does 2D animate? I know 2D animation looks great on HD TV and 16:9, but... how much more bolder is HD? I know it's a little bit better, but seriously, I don't want to rebuy it.
Well, Sleeping Beauty looks good, but come on. Snow White was like the first movie. It can't look that much better.
Yeah, we have SpongeBob the movie on regular DVD, and on the HDTV, it looks great. Upconverted? Come on.
Hey, a lot of my stuff looks great upconverted that, you know, I'm happy I have that's not on HD.
Yeah, why not, right?
Like the Lawrence of Arabia super bit, it looks amazing up converted.
Yeah, all those super bits look pretty good. All right, guys, what's on our TiVo? Now, guys, I want to play a clip of Bruce Willis on David Letterman this week. But first,
I saw that live.
We've got to mention about this weird Letterman stuff, how he was being
blackmailed
for money because this guy...
Yeah, by a former producer.
Yeah, the guy was going to release information that David Letterman pretty much got it on with a lot of his female employees. And Dave just pretty much, he got the guy arrested and then he said it on the air. And I don't even think at that point that he had to say anything, but he was like...
Yeah.
I've had sex with a lot of women on the show, and it's probably more embarrassing to them than it is.
Yeah, well, what's great is that he knew this, you know, it was going on, and he was like, the guy's like, I want $2 million. And he said, fine. And he gave him a phony check. And when the guy tried to cash it, they arrested him.
Nice.
Or no, the guy went to pick it up, and they arrested him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like Dave was in on it. Like, man, screw you, buddy.
Yeah, come on. It's like... You know,
It's like, do you think, you know, he did that? I mean, wouldn't have done that, you know.
The guy was an idiot, obviously.
Well, I guess the guy that was extorting him dated the assistant that he used to have on all the time, that Stephanie Briquette that he would have on and call Monty.
Right.
And, like, she would do, like, little interviews at different, like, the Winter Olympics or... do different things with that Rupert G. And this producer dated her and then, I guess, saw her diary and used that in the extortion.
But why would that be something bad? I don't understand how...
Yeah, I don't... Like, he's trying to smear his name now that he's married and has a kid.
Oh.
But all this took place before he was married or had a kid.
I think he just thought that Letterman is so private that it would have bothered him enough or something. The guy is obviously...
I think he overestimated Letterman's neuroses.
He's like, oh yeah, you want people to know that I've gotten laid? Yeah, okay.
I had sex with the interns. Okay.
Yeah, young interns half
my
age. Yeah, that's so...
It's like, wouldn't you have done it if you were me?
Yeah, no. You're in a position of power, you have young girls throwing themselves at you. How long can you resist that?
Now, Bruce Willis, he's on the show, and he's married some young, hot model, and Dave is looking at pictures of her naked, and it's just funny because Letterman can't talk straight, and he's stuttering a lot, and I thought it was funny. Let's check it out.
You and your wife
The
cover, Emma.
She's
a lovely woman, yeah. Now, can I? Oh, my goodness.
That's astonishing,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, my God. Now, there's a picture in there,
yes,
of your
Emma.
Wife.
Mrs. Willis?
Yes.
In the, how would you say it on?
I don't know. I don't, you know, if it was anybody else.
Know.
Yeah.
That's what I'll tell you. That's it. That's the money right there.
Yeah, but it's your wife we're talking about here. You don't say, oh, that's
our
money.
Right.
And, is it all right? And oh, this is
good Lord.
as a partially a naked wife.
The correct.
Yeah.
That's her.
Yeah. Now,
you know, I'm confused about so many things.
Yeah, I just don't even know what to say because I, as much as I'm enjoying this, I feel maybe I shouldn't be enjoying it this much because...
I enjoy that
there
a lot.
There you are.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, well...
Why not?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
She is a very pretty woman.
Yeah, he doesn't... Bruce Willis doesn't date ugly women, does he? He doesn't have...
No, he doesn't. And what's cool about Bruce Willis is he seems like a relatively down-to-earth guy. Granted, he has no real sense of humor. He tries, but...
Well, yeah, he's Bruno, man, right?
Did you see the bit where he said that he thought Dave was coming on at 10 o'clock and he showed up early?
No.
And he's there in, like, his Snuggie?
No.
He's like, is anybody here? I thought you went on at 10 o'clock. I mean, it sounds funny, but it was really painful.
I bet. Okay, now, guys, here's another hot topic. It's the Roman Polanski thing, right? Ooh. How crazy is that? I don't have the least bit of sympathy for this piece of shit.
He drugged a girl. He gave her a Quaalude and champagne, 14 years old, and raped her, and then ran away to France.
I think she was 13 years old.
Oh, was she 13?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a scumbag who ran away from, you know, and he's like tries to get all sympathy, like, oh, my wife was murdered by Charles Manson when she was pregnant. Yeah, big deal. Get over it.
Like, dude, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But okay.
So I slept with a 14-year-old. I raped her.
Now, Chris Rock was on Leno, which, you know, we all love Leno, right?
Yes.
I think it's a horrible show. But Chris Rock was on here talking about Roman Polanski. And I thought it was kind of funny because he's talking about people who defend Polanski. And why would they, right? So let's check this out.
This Polanski thing got me, man.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Let me ask you, what is your... I don't...
People are defending Roman Polanski because he made some good movies?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean,
are you kidding me?
Here's my thing.
He made good movies 30 years ago. Come on, even Johnny Cochran don't have the nerve to go, well, did you see O.J. play against New England?
I know.
I seen some hot... 16-year-olds that look 18.
Right.
17 that look 18. Right. 13 is 13. Yeah, yeah. Nobody gets away with having sex with a 13-year-old. 13?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Come on. Rape. It's rape.
Exactly.
Rape's number two. Okay, it's murder.
Right.
Then rape.
Right. Exactly.
It's number two. Like the United States, we want to capture Osama bin Laden and murder him. We're not going to rape him.
Right, right.
That would be barbaric.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be right, would it? So anyway, that's our obligatory Leno clip this week. You guys like that?
Yeah.
Now, guys...
But I thought it was funny that Whoopi Goldberg on The View said it wasn't rape.
Yeah, she wanted to define it. You know, I saw the clip the next day where she was trying to define what she said. She said she was just saying what the charge was. She wasn't saying what she thought it was. She was saying what he was wanting.
I thought maybe
for.
She was like holding out hope to be in a Polanski film.
No, she was just saying people like got mad at me, but I'm just telling you what it says on what he's being charged for. I'm not saying that's what I think he did. That, oh, it's not rape. Technically what it is giving a minor drugs or whatever like that. So I think she was just defining it. The Whoopi, she thinks he's a rapist too, I think.
Now, well, I would hope so.
Now, guys, Tool Academy, which we all know is a fantastic show, Stephen.
It is. It's
a lot
beautiful.
Of people with a lot of problems. Great show this week, Bill. I thought this was one of the funniest shows this week because it was just so ridiculous. Like they,
it was on the level of absurdity. It was an 11, I would have to say.
They did mock funerals for the girlfriends where they had a casket and their picture, and the guy had to go in and go, "I'm really gonna miss you." And
but the kicker was they had the girl in the coffin,
yeah, hiding where she was like listening to what they were saying. And my favorite was the redneck tool guy. He was like. she's in a happier place now. She's with God. She's in heaven. And it's like, no, what? And she was like crying.
He didn't get the point of it at all.
No, it was supposed to be like how you took her for granted. You didn't tell her what you should have while she was alive. But he's like, well, she's in a better place now.
He thought it was a real funeral.
Like, they killed her, man. The producers
of the show. It's like every funeral cliche you could think of.
Yeah, my favorite is the guy who's like, whatever. You know, he's just like, this is stupid. He couldn't get into it.
Yeah, and then whenever the thing opens, he's like, oh, I would totally have sex with her right there.
Yeah. What
it's,
a douche.
It's soft. It's a coffin.
That guy's hair is out of control, man.
I've never seen the spike so long.
He's got troll hair, doesn't he? It's like a troll hair.
Yeah, it does. It's bordering on like 80s Aquanet troll hair.
You know, the best part of the whole show, though, was when they decided the women need to see and show their boyfriends what it's like to date a gentleman and how they can be treated right. And the guys would be like, oh, man, this is how it is or whatever. But instead, they are really pissed off because a limo drove up and all these guys got out with tuxedos. And they were like, uh-uh, no way. And our favorite guy, Angry John, he's like standing there and there's a light fixture. They're outside on the porch of this mansion. And he goes, psh, and just punches it. Like, because he's so pissed off. I mean,
and then he doesn't break it the whole thing, so he has to punch it a second time.
Yeah.
And go, it's not broken yet. I need to break it more.
And you notice later on he's got a bandage on his hand?
Yeah. Such an idiot.
And it's like he thinks that these guys in tuxes are going to have sex with their girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Stop and listen for once.
I don't. The guy's just got, like, a bad attitude, I think. Another thing is, he was really upset, and he charged at the guys. He was
there was three of them that were really upset. Troll hair, guy liner.
Yeah, guy liner.
Looking guy and big angry John.
The guy liner guy, guy liner tool was hilarious because he was just like running. He wanted to bust some karate on him or something. Here's the audio from this, and you can't even tell what the hell's going on, but it was hilarious how they tackled John. Like, got him on the ground.
Well, you'll hear it when it happens.
This is awesome.
It's like four guys. It sounds like a football tackle.
Let's check this out.
You know you're not going to let you get over there, guys.
Big John ran. Frank ran down there to try to fight the guys, and Mike did.
No.
The way those guys were just smirking at us was pretty much bull.
No. Yeah.
Oh my god.
There it is.
Get off me.
I literally just blew up.
Get back there now.
Literally,
I wanted to punch him in his throat, you know?
You wanted to punch him in the throat.
All I wanted to do was just find out which one was taking Christina out.
Big John's getting tackled by security. I'm just like, holy shit, dude, this is insane.
Look at me, dude.
Mike A was like, maybe hitting producers and
Mike, look the fuck at me right now, dude.
Like, when I ran down there, I'm like thinking, okay, our girls watched our videos. Why not watch their video?
Look at me.
Go, dude, let it go.
Look at me, Mike. Don't touch me again.
Like, everybody's calmed down, like, because it's crazy.
It's not worth it. Let's go. Come on, dude, turn. Let's go. Come on, Mike.
Oh, y'all.
Didn't you like that where they're like, I just want to know which one's going to date my girl?
Yeah.
It's like they're hired actors, you douchebags. Yeah. But they are douchebags, right? And this is...
Oh, yeah, these guys come... It's so funny that they're getting upset over this, yet they did something so much worse.
I know. These are like just actors who are there to flirt with them, to piss them off, but...
And they don't even flirt well.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the best line in the whole episode goes to Angry John, though. When he was really upset over his girlfriend dying, right? Let's check this out.
I'm really shaken up from this. I need some weights and a chicken sandwich, stat.
He's a chicken sandwich.
Weights and a chicken sandwich.
Well, he can't build muscle without the protein.
That's right. Now, here's the best part. These guys are in the mansion watching the TV screen as their girlfriends date these guys. And you notice some of the girls were really uncomfortable. They look like they didn't even want to do this. They're just, you know, hey, you're really pretty. Oh, yeah, thanks. And won't even make eye contact with the guy.
Yeah.
They had no interest in this at all. But some of the girls really got into it, which I thought was funny. But these guys are so stupid. They're getting so upset. And my favorite, do you guys remember the one tool guy who, you know, he was all upset because, you know, his girlfriend, you know, he's not like...
he doesn't have, like, an Asian fetish or anything.
Yeah, I was like...
No, I'm saying, like,
Yeah, I'm saying it. He's just like,
saying anything.
I'm gonna my mold to date you.
Yeah, so this guy starts to cry, and, you know, it's gold. Whenever the waterworks start, so let's check this out.
It's my date.
At least he's not attractive.
Hi. Nicole.
At least he's not attractive.
Hi, I'm Chuck.
Nice to meet
you. Hi, nice to meet you.
Too.
Wow, you're stunning.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
When Terry sees me on a date with another guy, he will really realize, like, what he has in front of him.
Does he know how good he has it?
Now he's starting to realize it, but I don't really know.
Well, he better now.
Shut the f*** up. That's a f***, dude.
Would you mind? Can I try giving you a little hand massage here?
Are you kidding me?
You just slap me in my face by letting a guy rub all over her hands.
Is this... Dude, that's the only good thing that's going on right here.
We just have, like, trust issues.
Terry, you better work hard.
Shut the f*** up, ass bitch.
I am getting drained being here.
It's your job, so I ain't holding it against you, but get that f- camera out of my f- face. F*** you. It's your job.
You're absolutely stunning.
Thank you very much. Don't hear that.
Getting caught up in your eyes.
My eyes.
Yeah.
Don't get
too
Wow,
are you a douche?
Danny was definitely my type, to say the least.
Yeah, we know.
Another time, another place, I would definitely be interested in Danny.
What I understand, I any man with a
Needless
penis
to
is
say,
her type.
He's quite the douchebag.
Why is he a douchebag?
He cheats on me frequently. Doesn't appreciate anything I do for him.
You have to go to the Bahamas to take your mind off of things.
Yeah.
He kept asking her to go to the Bahamas, and she wasn't saying no. It didn't even feel like she was thinking about me.
She wasn't
if
thinking
it doesn't,
about
I'm
me.
I'm in L.A. And we could definitely take a trip to the Bahamas.
Well, how would I get in touch with you?
Hey, Chase,
do
you
want
to go to the Bahamas?
Yeah, sure. Although he starts punching air, he's like...
And the one guy's trying to hold him down on the couch.
It's like he's not punching anything. Let go of him. It's like, ooh, guyliner guy. He's so angry.
Wow. Wow.
I love that show. It's so retarded.
Yeah, it's so stupid. And the guys, just when you think they can't get any worse, they do.
That guy, you know, the date who shows up, he was creepy, just as creepy as the tool guy. The way he said she was stunning.
Wow, you're stunning.
Yeah, it's like they're supposed to be a perfect gentleman, yet they're like blatantly like moving in on their personal space. One guy's, let me give you a hand massage.
Yeah.
Like, did you take any lessons at all?
That's
how to be a perfect gentleman.
That's what's funny
open
is the
door,
producers.
Take him out to dinner, pull out the chair.
And really, what it was is the producer said, here's what I want you to do is flirt with her to piss the dude off who's watching on TV. All right? So that
I love
awesome.
That the perfect fancy dinner was s'mores in the backyard.
All it was on a friggin' table, you know? That was hilarious.
Did they even have a fire pit for them, or were they just supposed to eat them raw?
He's quite the douchebag.
Awesome. Before we take a break, we're going to talk about Hell's Kitchen, right, guys? Because, you know, we're getting closer to the finale, right? What do we got? Five people left on this episode, when it begins, that is. And we have this thing going on where they're preparing meals... To what is it? Bon Appetit magazine. Bon Appetit.
Yes.
Have they mentioned Bon Appetit, on Top Chef before?
I think so. Yeah.
It's like a really popular magazine that everyone in the industry reads it, as Suzanne says.
There's two. There's Gourmet and there's Bon Appetit.
What's interesting here is Dave. We know he's a front runner on the show, but his programming is starting to malfunction. It's glitching, as they say.
I think he was overheating from the kitchen.
He's got some wires touching in his thumb, short-circuiting.
If I was there, I would have rebooted him, wouldn't you? Just hold down the button, let him reboot.
Yeah.
He would have been better. But unfortunately, nobody knows to do that on the show, I guess. And let's listen here as he tries to tell this judge lady from Bon Appetit
about his
meal. And he's just glitching. It's really sad.
The judges from Bon Appetit magazine will critique the dishes based solely on presentation.
Hi, how are you?
The top two dishes will then be tasted by Chef Ramsay and Bon Appetit's editor-in-chief.
Can I get in about your dish?
Yeah, it's a pan-seared yellow, red and yellow.
Oh, wait.
I don't speak well in front of crowds.
What was the sauce?
The sauce is actually a plums. It could not come to my mind. Any questions? The name of my dish is Colorado rack of lamb with rainbow.
What?
The name of my dish is. Sorry, I tripped.
Oh, Dave, that's really bad.
No, but
oh!
I think Dave's tape got mixed up in there.
I know. It's just really sad. Nobody knew how to reboot him. There's actually a little needle hole in his neck, and you just get like a paper clip and stick it in there and reboot him. That's all.
Colorado rack of lamb?
Yeah, have you ever heard of that?
Colorado rack of lamb, rainbow. Yeah.
Rainbow.
Huh? What does that even mean? I want to know that.
I mean,
Dave.
I'm sure you could get, maybe it's lamb from Colorado.
Colorado rack of lamb.
Okay.
Is a plum.
Wow.
It's plum, man.
Here,
it's plum.
I want to ask you guys about this, because Kevin the bald guy, you know, I would say that he's a front runner. Does he need to be a douche? Really? Does he need to?
No. And I had a problem with that, too. Like, he feels that he needs to, like, it's Survivor. Like, he has to eliminate contestants. He's not good enough to get there to the end on his own.
Yeah, like, in this next clip, he's like, you know, wants to tell Dave, like, Dave, you're going to do permanent damage to your wrist and your hand. Maybe you should just quit. Why would you want to win Hell's Kitchen that way? When they lose the quick fire. I don't know what else to call it.
The challenge.
When they lose the challenge, Bill, it is Ariel. Come on, your name's Ariel. Just shut up with the Ariel or whatever. And Kevin win it. And they get to go to Shudder's, some famous restaurant, I guess, and have a photo op with Gordon and somebody else.
It was the Bon Appetit people.
Right. And so they send Dave, who has an injury. Again, they're making someone with an injury do manual labor. They have Tennille, Suzanne, pick up trash on the side of the road like a convict, basically. So that's how this all starts. And that's how.
Yeah, and that had everything to do with food, by the way.
Yeah, and so this is how, basically, as Dave is doing this, he's messing up his wrist. He's moving it around and stuff when he should be just resting it on ice until the food later, you know, when they open the restaurant. So let's check this out.
The fact that I have to be near Tennille today makes me nauseous. And if I hear Tennille bitching, I'll lose my mind.
They've got the best reward ever in Hell's Kitchen history. And I'm going to be picking up trash on the side of the road. Unbelievable.
Everything you're going to need.
When we first got off the bus, Chef Scott handed out tools and garbage bags.
Start filling them up.
Picking up the garbage on the side of the hillside. It's torture.
This is a dirty city.
This just ain't right.
Tennille kept saying, this just ain't right.
This just ain't right.
This just ain't right. And I just wanted to say, shut up, you know?
This is wrong on so many levels.
All of a sudden, it's cool hand
sweeping. My wrist starts to swell up, now it feels like it wants to crack the plaster in half.
Friggin' servo motors are jacked.
I don't know what to do.
The punishment may be over, but for one chef, the pain continues.
Hey, what's up?
I had to use a shop room.
Good, Kevin's here. He's a good friend.
Whole front of Hell's Kitchen, and something just pulled.
You need to think of Dave first, and is this worth it? Think about what you need for the rest of your life. There's four people standing in my way. Four people. That's it. Dave, he truly poses a threat to me winning. I want him to leave this competition.
I gotta figure out what to do.
Dude, if you do some serious damage to your hand, I mean, that's your call.
I have to watch my back. Everybody is hoping that my broken wrist is going to send me home. If they want to try and, like, drive me into the ground, they can keep trying because they're not even close.
I think you're jinxed.
Wow.
Makes poor Dave the Robot.
I know. It's just like, Kevin, you're supposed to be his friend, and the joke's on you because they can replace his arm with a new robot arm. Ah!
Yeah. He's just stubborn. He doesn't want the implant yet.
Yeah, I think they have to build it. It takes a while, maybe to order it from Japan.
Yeah, cybernetic implants or replacement parts take a long time.
Right.
See, it's the nanobots. Right. They're perfectionists.
Yeah, totally, man. And they cost millions of dollars, too. So
billions!
You know what's funny? Dave was mad about Tennille is last week when they decided to put up the dumb guy. What was his name? Van.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't put up Van. They put Ariel and somebody else. I can't remember.
Suzanne,
right? And then she was like, no, I think Van should be up there. Like, she switched hers to look better in front of Gordon Ramsay. That's what he's pissed at her about, is what I remember. And one thing that I noticed about every episode of Hell's Kitchen, you guys notice every single one of them, every dinner service, they suck. What is the deal?
Yeah, I don't quite understand what's going on. If I was Gordon Ramsay, I'd be embarrassed that these people are even up for Whistler. There goes Whistler!
Mm. Would you serve this in Whistler? Huh?
What's wrong with you? Whistler wouldn't accept this.
Yeah, well, what's so great about Whistler, Gordon Ramsay? What? Oh, sorry.
Don't you know his mother?
But here's what I wanted to know. Is he, like, going, none of these people can complete a service? Do I even pick anyone this season? You know?
Well, it's like you... Every season is, they're not the head. They're going to be a manager, somebody else's.
Right.
They're the executive chef. They basically run the menu.
Whatever Christine's, I don't remember what she won the season she did, but now she's working in Gordon's restaurant. I don't think that was the original prize, was it?
No, that's an option he gives. They only mentioned it the first season. Where the Michael one, he said, you can go on to, this restaurant, or you can come work for me in my restaurant in London. And I think that's what he does with a lot of these chefs, because they're so new, they still have room to learn. He probably said, you can have this, or you can come with me and work at my restaurant.
I mean, wasn't she supposed to go do the one in Vegas last year?
I think so, something like that.
I think the contracts are only for like 1 year.
Right. So, one thing about Dave also is robots, I didn't think were shy, but he said he didn't speak well in crowds. So he's a shy robot, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't speak well in front of crowds.
Oh, poor.
They started installing neuroses chips to make them more human.
Neuroses chips.
My programming doesn't allow me to speak well in front of people.
Poor guy.
I started sweeping.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know.
Colorado, rack of lamb.
Good for you. Poor guy.
Picture him kind of like Crichton with the big vacuum tube coming out of the middle.
I'm sweeping, sir.
Rainbow.
He's got the vacuum stuck out of his middle of his gut.
That's not fair. I got a sweep. He's got a vacuum attachment. I can just see Tennille.
I wonder how many directives Dave has. I think RoboCop only had 3, but Dave must have a ton of them.
He needs to have like a guile chip where he knows that Kevin is not being his friend. He's just trying to talk him into quitting,
Makes me nauseous.
Exactly.
My nauseous chip is on overload.
All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about heroes. Awesome. We'll talk about a carnival when we get back.
We're going to a carnival?
Long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, the Star Wars saga began, and Kenner continues the excitement.
Chewbacca's smart!
It's C-3PO that you can take apart, and other action figures each sold separately.
Take me to Han Solo and Princess Leia. What happened? Han, Leia, sneak attack. I'm all in pieces.
What a mess.
Put him down, Chewie.
How's that, C-3PO?
Wonderful.
Han Solo, C-3PO with backpack and other action figures each sold separately from Kenner Star Wars, Return of the Jedi Collection.
Catching Cobra's really tough, you know. And Cobra's up to something that would be
Cobra!
Cobra blew up the bridge!
to the rescue! The Ice Pack will catch him!
Introducing the new Joe's Barbecue and Shipwreck.
We got a stock cover this time!
G.I. Joe!
After him!
G.I. Joe Bridge Layer comes with driver, or Striker comes with driver. Other figures and equipment sold separately from Hasbro.
It's the new kids on the block. Joseph, Jonathan, Jordan, Donnie, and Danny. Who's their number one fan?
I'm the number one fan. I've got all five concert kits with all five personal interview cassettes. I am. I've got all five concert kits with their cassettes and the new kids' stage. With all five kids in their street clothes. I'm the number one fan. I've got all the kids, their stage, and the new kids in the block phone.
The new kids on the block. Who's their number one fan?
I am.
New kids on the block concert kits come with cassettes, stage, hanging loose kits, and accessories sold separately.
Kellogg's Talking Krispies present Barney.
Why so blue, Barney?
Kids don't want colorful balloons on a rainy day.
He looks so deflated. One of our crispy cereals might help. Let's see. Marshmallow Krispies! Perfect!
Hey, bright colored marshmallows.
If I'm to put my frosted cocoa
marshmallow
into your morning.
Part of this complete breakfast.
With Barney around, who needs rainbows?
Yeah, starring Ronald McDonald and the Chicken McNuggets.
Ronald, nice to see you in this neck of the woods. Come on.
What are you making?
We're stirring up secret sauces. For dipping.
We ready, boss?
Let's make sauce.
Oh, well, at least I got my hair done.
I have an idea.
Whoop-de-doo. McDonald's sauces.
You can always count on them to be terrific.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
Let's have a Play-Doh party!
Yeah!
A shooting star!
You can make all sorts of great things with a Play-Doh Fun Factory.
I made spaghetti!
And now, you can get a Play-Doh Fun Flyer free when you buy Fun Factory in specially marked packages. It's lots of fun, and little enough to take with you wherever you go, while supplies last. The Play-Doh Fun Factory toy comes with everything you see here. From Kenner.
Oh, 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 double stuff twister, double stuff cruncher, double stuff action, for Oreo muncher, feel it up, a cruncher, a chocolate cookie dunker, a double middle muncher, with O-I-E-O, double stuff action, double stuff action, twister, a dunker, whatever your attraction, Oreo double stuff action, O-I-E-O,
the disco.
Hi, Ernie. Hi, Ernie. Hey, you're a cookie.
A brand new Keebler cookie named E.L. Fudge. That's E as in everybody, L as in loves, Fudge.
Pleased to meet you.
Rich, buttery shortbread cookies shaped like an elf, then dipped in smooth, creamy fudge. Everybody's gonna love E.L. Fudge.
I never met an elf and cookie I didn't like.
That's E as in everybody, L as in loves, Fudge. New E.L. Fudge cookies from Keebler.
Hey, what you eating? A neat candy bar. Boy, is it crispy.
Sounds good. It smells peanutty. What do you call it?
Whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit.
That's right.
What's right?
A name.
What name?
Whatchamacallit.
You forgot the name?
Whatchamacallit. The totally different crunchy bar of peanutty tasting crisp drenched in chocolate. Whatchamacallit from Hershey. You can ask for it by name.
Can I have some of that?
Some of what?
Kids play harder than anybody else, and
there's
nothing like a kid's big
bird. Oh, yeah, I'm on my
way. You can feel it coming home, and you've got to have some.
Here I come to save the day.
Got to have some now.
Kool-Aid to the rescue, the one who
rocks his
big bird.
So I see, refreshing and bright, yeah.
Got to have some more.
All right.
It's Kool-Aid to the rescue, the one for kids.
Kool-Aid brand soft drink mix.
For a kid's big thirst.
Grab a stick of juicy fruit. The taste is gonna move you. Move you up, move you out. The taste is gonna move you when you pop it in your mouth. Juicy fruit is gonna move you. It's got a taste that gets right to you. Juicy fruit, the taste is gonna move you.
Discover a world beyond your wildest dreams. Discover Atari. Pioneers in coin video games like Centipede, Tempest, and the asteroids that challenge you, excite you, test you like never before. Discover the Atari that opened your eyes to the world's most popular home video games like Space Invaders, Missile Command, and Warlords. Discover the Atari that brought you a home computer truly designed for the home. Sophisticated for advanced needs, yet simple enough for your child to use. Compose music. Play advanced games. Manage your finances. All at the touch of a button. Discover Atari.
Atari!
And discover how far you can go.
You can roll a Rolo to your pal. It's chocolate-covered caramel. Roll a Rolo to your chums.
It's chewy and it's chocolate and it's lots of fun.
Rolo, chewy caramel and real milk chocolate all rolled together. Rolo!
You can roll a Rolo to your friends.
It's chocolate-covered caramel for them to end.
Yeah.
I'm really shaking up from this. I need some weights and a chicken sandwich. Stat.
Yeah, me too.
Stat.
I just pumped some iron and had a chicken sandwich, guys.
And I'm a doctor at the same time. Stat.
Stat. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Hey, dude. It's not cool, yo. You know what I'm saying?
I think I tore my sack.
Huh? Okay.
That happens sometimes.
It's good to know. All right, guys. Heroes. Ah, yes. We're on death watch with Heroes. How long until NBC's like, all right, guys, joke's over, man. We got to can this shit.
I'll tell you what. It'll die soon enough if they continue to give great Grunberg big parts.
Wow. And you know what? That's what we're going to hit on this week on Heroes. Last week it was Claire and her lesbianism. This week it is Matt Parkman and Siler living in his brain. Now, I want to ask you guys this. Is it really Siler in his head, or do the writers not even know?
They don't know.
I mean, because basically what happened is he made Siler into Nathan, but why does that have anything to do with the his head, his brain?
Maybe when, like, he was doing it, he took Siler out and put Nathan in, and Siler's now stuck in his head until
right.
he touches Siler's body again. I don't freaking know.
So, I'm going to ask you guys this. Did the Heroes guys go, you know, on, like, Battlestar Galactica, I didn't really watch that, but my friend did. There was, like, this guy on there who always talked to this chick all the time, like, lived in his head. Let's do something like that. They're like, yeah, we'll put Siler in his head. Let's do that. Was it something like that?
Yeah, wow. But the chick was hot.
Yeah.
And
Siler just...
And it was actually part of
I don't look
the,
at him that way,
It's
honestly.
Actually part of the storyline.
Yeah.
Well, I'd look at his eyebrows like that. They're hot. But
I started sweeping.
Huh? Yeah, me too. I started sweeping during Heroes, guys. I didn't watch all of it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, well, the vacuum helps cover up the drone.
I gotta say, no Mohinder is working for me, though. I'm liking
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and he's not even doing the voiceovers at the beginning.
He's like, guys, I know you miss me. This week's Heroes. But also, okay, the guy who works at the carnival, he's like, I need to get to know this Peter guy, so I'm gonna fake sue his ass. Good plan, dude. Good plan. Makes no sense at all, does it? Does that make
no.
any sense?
The whole storyline that he wasn't on the bus, he was on the bus.
Well, he can insert ink from his hand into the picture. That's a pretty cool talent. Does that guy realize he doesn't have to work for a carnival? If he could do that, he could sell artwork that way?
Yeah, does that guy realize he could be like the most famous artist in the world?
That guy could get a job at Time Magazine doing graphics. Does he not realize
no, but
that?
He's tortured. He's, you know, his rich family abandoned him or something.
Were they,
and now
no,
he...
I think his family were the servants, weren't they? Isn't that what he said?
Oh, I have no idea.
Did you guys like that? I just like to look at your... I'm having a rich, ritzy party. Go away. And he's like, well, damn you! And later on, they show that the entire house is sunken into the ground. The guy's like, watch out, it's a sinkhole. It's like, okay. Awesome. I gotta tell you guys, some people may think it's cheesy. My favorite character on this show that they've ever introduced is Emma the Mute Deaf Lady. Because, you guys know why? No dialogue! Well, no dialogue! She's a perfect hero's character!
All she sees is colors.
She sees sound like, oh, it's beautiful, a guy playing the cello. And did you guys love that scene? She's playing the cello in the park and everyone's watching. It was this beautiful scene. And I was thinking to myself, what is this scene doing in Heroes? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And it's awesome that there's no dialogue here, by the way. I like that. So I don't know what they're going to do with her character, but that was beautiful, and I shed a tear, guys.
You know what?
Maybe Peter will take her into the future and then forget about her.
Oh, that would be awesome.
If she can see sound, and it's good or bad.
Right. Good and or bad sound?
No, the vibrations
yeah,
of a person
like if
makes.
Somebody, if somebody bad's talking, it's like red.
Like they say the F word, it's like red. She's like, ooh. But if someone's like, you look very...
No, I'm just saying it would be like dark, muted colors versus happy color, you know, bright colors.
Like if someone said something
like...
Like
Siler would be a dark character.
Like
okay,
this,
why does this matter?
This would be Angelic White. Look,
because she wouldn't be able to tell anyone.
Right. That's what I want to know is what is she going to do with the show?
This show sucks.
I don't know. We're trying to think of something for a...
Give them something to do. No, okay, let's talk about this.
She's like...
Matt shows up with a... By the way, they got the only person from BSG that they could get. It was the Black Cylon. He's all of a sudden Matt Parkman's partner, right? And they're going to hit up a drug house where this guy's dealing dope or something. Here's a great scene. The first part is they just want to know where the drugs are. And how great is this storyline? Matt, he's not going to use his powers anymore, guys. He's sober. He's
sober.
It's like he's not. Yeah. It's like alcoholism when he uses his mental powers, I guess. Is that what it meant?
I guess. Yeah. That was so
stupid. They're stretching there. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, how is that even the same?
Oh, and apparently he is a terrible cop.
Yeah, he is an awful cop. And I love basically this part is Siler's trying to help him solve the crime, and then it turns out he's messing with his mind, thinking the guy killed a little girl, and he starts punching the guy, and then all of a sudden he's ruined his career. So let's go ahead and check the scene out, and let's try to... I'm going to go make a sandwich, guys. Be right back.
Hey, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, so why don't you just tell us where you hid the drugs?
Why don't you ask my lawyer?
Oh, did he just... I can't believe people actually say that.
You can call your lawyer after we're done searching the house.
No, you can't do that, man.
No way, dude.
We have a warrant. You attempted to murder an officer, Lee. So we are going to stay here as long as it takes.
Or you could just grow a pair and end this idiotic sobriety.
I'm going to ask you one more time.
Stop asking. Use your abilities.
I'm going to go check in the bathroom.
You didn't ignore me as you thought.
Oh, sorry, I started taking a dump.
Upper Decker.
The joke's on that drug dealer. I just hit an Upper Decker.
Place.
Stop helping.
Hey, if I'm going to be stuck in here, I might as well make the most of it. I always thought I'd be an excellent cop. Fine, ignore me. Something doesn't fit in this picture. Stuffed rabbit? A stuffed rabbit.
This house isn't used for drugs.
Rabbit.
It's used for something worse.
Oh my god.
A lot worse.
He's selling
video
games.
You crossed the line,
man. What's gonna happen to me?
There's heroin in that rabbit.
You need a damn good lawyer.
This is gonna ruin my life.
I am sorry.
Yeah. Me too.
Is there an alarm clock going off in the background?
What are you doing? I guess I'm just not strong enough anymore.
Nothing happened here. He attacked you. I stopped him. That's all. Go call him.
I'll call him in, man.
I'm proud of you. Finally becoming more like me. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Then I can all be like this. Or you and I can go find my body.
Oh, just spit it out.
Awesome storyline, guys, huh? And why is this
These
show
are not the droids you're looking for?
Why is this show at such a snail's pace?
Because they got nothing.
Everyone,
it has to have those long dramatic pauses. It's just like, say it already.
There's a scene in this where Claire and Noah and the annoying girl go to eat. And it lasts forever. They're at this restaurant forever where she keeps dropping hints. It would be interesting if, say, you cut yourself and did you know there are tribes and so and so? It's just like, all right, he knows. He gets your hint. How long is this scene going to last, you know?
You know, the show should be 20 minutes.
It's a, it's a comic book story without a comic book to base it on. So they have no... They have no idea where it's going.
That's an insult to comic books.
No, I'm saying, no, it's that's what it wants to be, but it can't. Because there's no comic book to base it on.
It's like
there's no
storyline. It's like they have a list of things that are going to happen this season, and they take forever to get to the next point. They don't know how to tell a story,
right.
Honestly.
They're
you know, honestly, I'm done with expecting anything from the show. It was a long time ago.
I don't.
But now it's just morbid curiosity. Like, how bad is it going to be this
right.
week?
Right. Me. Yeah. Here's what they honestly. I know the show will probably be canceled this season, but here's honestly, this is what they needed to do with season two. Because remember, season one they did the Lost type thing, and it actually worked for a while, and then they just gave up on that. Now they're trying to do mysteries every season. They need to do self-contained episodes every week with a different character, like some kind of action or mystery happens, and not cut to other characters. They just, that's what they need to do. It's the only way it's going to work, honestly.
Mm.
Or do it like...
Yeah, or they need
copy
to have a,
90210 or something.
They
where
need
they
to
have an ensemble.
A point A and a point B that they're going to get to.
Don't try to tell your mysterious stories anymore. Just do it like a cop show or something.
Or they can do it kind of like Fringe... Have an underlying story, but every story is individual.
Yeah, every episode is self-contained.
Yeah.
Right. I like how Fringe will drop in the little bit of overall story arc in the final minutes where you're like, holy shit, and that gets you to turn into next week.
Right.
This, it's just like, okay, tune in next week to see this mysterious carnival people.
That would actually require real writers.
Right. It's just like...
Is a plum,
Yeah, I mean,
it's
I'm speechless, too.
It's a plum. It's
a
peach, huh?
I honestly think there's no hope for Heroes. Really.
No, there isn't. It looks like next week we get a healthy dose of the worst actress on television, Allie Larder, and her Tracy Strauss character.
Yeah, guess what, Mr. Governor? I'm back. He's like,
and I'm totally not going to drown you.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, I'm really upset there's no Ando and Hero hijinks. What's going on here?
Yeah, I wanted to see more about Ando's newly developed relationship with Hero's brother.
Or sister, yeah.
His sister.
That would be more interesting, like Hero.
That would be great. Ando is...
I am homosexual! That is not favored here in Japan! I don't know what I'm talking about.
This just ain't right.
Yeah, you're
certainly
right.
Make the show more interesting.
Now let's talk about Dollhouse. Dollhizzle, as they say. Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, I just heard Steve
wake up.
Was I sleeping?
Oh, yeah. Dollhouse. I got to say, Dollhouse, you know, it ended with a bang, right? Now they got to establish all the drama in the first episode. How cool is it? Echo is marrying Apollo from BSG, right?
See, you know what's funny? I'm watching the episode, and 16 minutes in, I'm looking at the clock to see, is this almost over?
I got to tell you, man, that, okay, I got to be honest, guys. I fell asleep a couple times when I was this. That never happens to me. I was like, oh, shit, and I rewound it, and then I was like, oh, shit, man, I got to rewind it. I rewound it like three or four times because I kept, like, dozing off. That's not a good sign, is it?
No, it's what's funny is I was talking to you this week. We liked it at the end of last season because it knew it was stupid and it wasn't taking itself seriously.
I'm going to say bring the stupid, right?
Yeah, and I thought, man, I can't wait to see what hijinks this week, you know. And it just was so self-serious.
Yeah, there's certain things that I guess would be interesting, like Topher. He's all like got all this malaise and stuff. And there's Amy Acker, and she's all scarred and wants to stay scarred. All that. All that would be interesting if I cared at all about those characters,
yeah.
But I don't. But I got to tell you guys, at the end of the episode, when it started getting kind of lame and retarded, that's when I was like, all right, it's redeeming itself. Like when Echo has all the personalities at once
all
and she's
once.
Switching.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's not a very good actress, so it's hard for her to pull it off. And Hilo's punching her in the face repeatedly. I was like, okay, I like this.
That I enjoyed. Anytime I see Eliza Dushku punched, I'm happy.
Well, I was laughing at when her husband slams her head into
the I know.
Desk.
He's like, bam!
Oh, great.
What, and Apollo's like, who are you, the agent? Agent of bugger all. I was like, awesome dialogue. Yeah.
All.
Let's go in.
These two are going, we were on one of the most beloved sci-fi series of all time, and we're doing this shit?
We're talking about the Agent of Bugger All. Let's go ahead and check this out. And I like how the scene just turns into karate, gunshots, and cars exploding. Let's check it out. It's awesome. That's why I was like, okay, yeah, more of this shit. Yeah, that's what the show needs.
My God, this is becoming surreal. Bring her out. Well, it's Paul Ballard, special agent in charge of bugger all.
Awesome. Hello, Martin.
You've come to wish us joy.
I love this fake British accent, Stephen.
Let her go.
We're very much in
love. You don't know who you're dealing
with. Oh, wait,
with
I think he is from
well, I know it's not the FBI.
Whoa.
I think I'm going to keep this gum. I'm going to treasure it.
You're making a mistake.
Oh, well, you're the expert in that field. Did he tell you he was still with the FBI? Not ousted in disgrace? And did he forget to mention his pathetic failed attempts to catch me or anyone?
You know,
I'm so anxious to know what he said that put you in bed with the man who represents everything that he will never be.
What?
Oh, just like Dave. This is what Dave hears in his head.
Yeah.
The channels were changing.
It's the wrong act.
It's not an act.
Stop. My head is on fire. Be a dream and bring Mommy a Vicodin.
Okay, I'm starting to feel like maybe she's not taking this seriously.
She doesn't get what's happening. The pressure or something. She cracked.
I'm not a doctor, but it's the pressure on her
brain. You couldn't take it.
The man from the picture. Martin, I don't know him.
Just give it up. Your name is Caroline.
Your name is Toby.
I would never hurt you.
Toby, too.
Oh,
I would never hurt
I bet
you.
Bet everything on you.
Yeah, what was
I
that?
I traded my life for this, and you couldn't even. All you had to do was remember who you were. You can't remember? Nobody home? We're gonna die, and this scumbag is gonna walk because of you. The Chinese restaurant. You remember that?
Where's your favorite place to eat? You love the egg rolls.
The turtle sauce chicken kicks ass.
Whoa, now she's kicking ass. All right.
Get the plane started.
Oh. What's going on, Steven? Oh, explosion. You always got to end it
makes
up with...
me nauseous.
Oh, sorry, Dave. You always got to end it with explosion. But that Jamie Bamber, who plays Apollo on the show, he dealt arms, right? He sold guns.
Yes.
And
he was selling mini bombs that you put in plutonium for dirty bombs.
I love that sound effect in movies that... It's awesome.
It's like a camera flash after you take a picture.
Yeah, it's like the flash.
It has to charge up the capacitor to unleash the detonation.
So at the very end, Echo, like, she's like, you know, she's supposed to be her, like, dumb version. Like, oh, it's so beautiful in here, whatever. And he's like, you probably don't remember this. No, I do remember. Huh? Awesome.
Oh, my God. Characters.
Now, I gotta
blue
say,
skies. I just wish I could act.
That one
I'm
scene,
just gonna go marry another athlete.
That one scene where Topher was sleep. Why does he sleep like in that room? Doesn't he get a bed or something?
You know what? Quite frankly, if I was running a server room, that hum, it's like it. You know, it's like white noise. It probably is rather soothing.
Oh yeah,
and it's nice and cold in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because of the yeah.
When she like started crawling on him in the negligee, would you have been like, "Oh my god!" and jumped up like that? And been like, yeah, "I'm gonna pretend like I'm asleep."
I don't find her particularly attractive, but I'd do her.
Nice. But you think Amy Acker's
attractive?
Is that
too much?
No, you think Amy Acker's attractive though, right?
I think she's a little skinny for my tastes, but you know, like I said, I mean, you know, I wouldn't toss her out of bed.
Well, that's what you
I wouldn't
do.
Go, oh my god, a girl!
Once things start going along, you start feeding her, and eventually...
Yeah, well, yeah, I bet you she'd look really good once she got, like, you know, 20, 30 pounds on.
Colorado rack of lamb.
Yeah, that's all she needs to eat is some Colorado rack of lamb with plum.
Nice.
Some rainbow...
And some rainbow three-color things.
Rainbow...
Ah, yes, Dave, Rainbow. He's a very special robot, guys.
He's been looking for the gold at the end of the rainbow.
It's Dave,
I don't speak
the
well in front of crowds.
Does he sound a little like Rain Man there?
I don't speak well in front of crowds.
He bought his underwear at Kmart.
Yeah. Awesome. Nah, whatever.
Time to get Top Chef. I gotta watch Top Chef.
That would be funny if his programming changed and all of a sudden he started kicking everyone's ass.
That would be awesome. Okay, guys, Fringe. Let's talk about Fringe.
I love the openings to Fringe. They always just set the perfect mood.
Like, what the hell? It's always something cool and shocking. Yeah, the guy like, turning to crystals and then explodes. That was really cool. My favorite is still the one last season where the dude's on the airplane bathroom freaking out. Then all of a sudden the door bursts open. It's like this porcupine monster.
Yeah,
like,
that is awesome.
And then it just like cuts away and goes to the main credits. It's like, holy shit, what did I just see? I got to rewind it.
What happened to that dude?
It's Porcupine Man.
So they're trying to figure out why this guy, you know, it starts out with this cop and he gets a phone call and he's got to go to this place and... He's getting a briefcase, and then he turns into a crystal and explodes. And shrapnel from him kills everybody. There's this great scene where Peter and Walter are eating lunch. And they're trying to figure this out, what happened to this guy who was in Iraq and everything. And I just got to
I always love how they have food around these disgusting environments.
This was great. Peter's got his cheeseburger.
Aha, it's that food I smell.
I love
that. Examining Officer Gillespie, I've discovered something else. Given the amount of serum that we found in his tissue and the rate at which it would have metabolized, I suspect that he would have had to inject it every day for a very long time.
Well, how long?
At least a year, I would think.
A year? That would mean that Gillespie started injecting while he was still on his tour in Iraq. Did his army personnel file come through yet?
I haven't seen it. Let me check, though.
Interestingly, when the serum is first introduced or injected, it's fairly harmless. But then something else occurs, a secondary reaction. Some sort of trigger causes these bonds to blast apart.
The trigger...
Peter... I'm going to eat that cheeseburger in here. Could you at least be a little discreet?
Oh, he takes a big bite out of
it. Could it be a radio wave?
Really?
There was some sort of interference on the security tapes inside the train station, most likely caused by radio waves.
Yes, I suppose so.
Peter, I've got Gillespie's military file with cyanogen chloride.
It's a chemical weapon.
His whole unit was exposed to cyanogen. According to this file, Gillespie should have died in Iraq.
Four words that should never show up in a sentence. Classified experimental military project.
You said that, brother. So basically, these guys got exposed to this thing. The government came up with a cure, and a side effect was a certain frequency would turn them into a bomb. So their evil colonel turns them into weapons for his own doing, right? That's what it turns
Another
out.
Another Lance Hendrickson wannabe.
I know that guy is more Lance Hendricksy. I love that guy. That
At least he doesn't have like ink all over his fingernails.
That guy is fantastic as the scary killer at the beginning of A History of Violence. Remember that?
Yes! Yes, that's where I saw him. It was driving me crazy.
Yeah, he is very scary in that part. And the way he dies is awesome, too. But, yeah, I love heroes. I love Fringe. Christ,
you
what a slip-up.
Is
malfunction. No, but, yeah, Fringe. You notice how it does scenes like that where they're talking? In Heroes, they would have that boom, 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 boom. That music continuous. Yeah. It would never
stop. And
there's
no music?
Yeah, there's no music. They have a little moment of humor to break the tension with the cow. But Heroes, it's always this mood music. That
I also love how he throws the burger down on the crystallized person.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, ugh.
I like when he's like, Peter, and then he's like, after he says, must you be that way with your cheeseburger? And he's like, takes a giant, and then the cow's like, it's like pissed off.
I love cows.
That was awesome.
My grandparents, when I was real little, they ran a farm, and I'd always go and just like yell at the cows and stuff. They're just, cows are cool.
But that Fringe does what Heroes can't do, and maybe they just don't have the subtlety. They just, we're doing a comic book type show with Heroes. It's like, no, you're just making a bad show is all it is.
They just don't have the team of writers. They don't know what they're doing. They have no plan. And quite frankly, they have Tim Kring as a showrunner, and the man's proven to be an incompetent jackass.
And that's, you know, when we were... We made a joke last week about Crossing Jordan. At least that show, it was like, you know, whatever case of the week.
Dude.
Bring friggin' Jerry O'Connell to the show and stuff like that. Awesome.
Yeah, he needs to work.
No, you know, Peter should get a job at that hospital and go with Jordan on cases to solve crimes. You know, and she's like, how'd you get back so fast? Oh, I don't know, Jordan. Don't worry about it. Fast powers.
I touched Jordan. Now I can solve.
Yeah, that's her power. Oh. So anyway, Fringe is cool, and I like the briefcase. What is in the briefcase that this colonel wants? We find out at the very end they deliver it to a mysterious figure, opens it up. Whatever's in this case, most likely, is what that other side, this mysterious faction of people from another dimension, whatever they are, they'll use this to destroy us. And it's a picture of Walter in the briefcase, and it's the Observer checking it out. How cool.
Awesome.
Is that? Cool ending.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Very good.
Love Fringe. Totally cool. Can't wait till next week. And I forgot to mention Dollhouse. Previews of next week. Echo, she's going to be a mother. And then she starts malfunctioning, and she's holding the baby, and she's got a butcher knife. It looks awesome. That's the kind of stuff I want on Dollhouse. Just
there you go.
Ridiculous. Now let's talk about Smallville. We're finally up to Smallville, guys.
Woo-hoo!
And I'm just going to say that Smallville isn't hard to figure out. It's a very simple show. Yeah. They have scenes that are silly, too much dialogue, like way overwritten scenes.
Yeah, and they also love to employ the 5-second dramatic pause, which makes it a bitch to edit a sound clip from it.
But also, there's this little bit here with Zod and some army personnel. I didn't understand any of this storyline, guys.
No.
I was confused for the whole thing. I don't remember where they came from, what they were doing there, anything. I was scratching my head through every single scene.
We were chatting about that.
I was like, what the hell is this?
Well, at the end of last season, when the globe or whatever the hell you want to call it opens up, it's just Zod standing on the grass. Where the hell did this freaking platoon come from?
Yeah, and they're all like, they wear same army clothes on Krypton that we do here on Earth.
Yeah, and they wear dog tags, and it's just so absurd.
I know, and remember what happened to Lois? She put on that ring and went to the future. All of a sudden, she appears here on a train, and this ninja chick starts finding her. None of that made any sense. And Brian Austin Green shows up. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But here's what I want to know. Okay, here's the scene where Chloe comes to visit Lo. She calls her Lo, not Lois, in the hospital bill. Lois thinks she's just been gone for like a minute. She doesn't realize she's been gone for weeks. Chloe will not just say that. You've been gone for weeks. No. Why won't she just say that? It drives me nuts. So let's go ahead and check out the scene and watch how she just won't tell her. It was getting on my nerves. And I swear, this scene is a minute long, 15 pages of dialogue in the script.
Oh!
Let's check it out.
Lo, the desk nurse called me. Where have you been? What happened to you?
Tess was rambling about some alien orb, and then we threw down in the middle of the Daily Planet, and wham, I wake up in a monorail car with some ninja chick after me.
Alien orb? Lo.
Hey, who hasn't, man?
I think maybe you just bumped your head in the accident.
That's just a Saturday in my world, Steven.
Where have I been? You were the one who was playing Thelma and Louise with the creature from the Black Lagoon. How did you manage to ditch Davis?
I didn't exactly ditch Davis. Lo, it was the red blue blur, wasn't it? I knew it. He promised me he'd save you, and he did. That means he's still alive. The train. He saved the train, too, didn't he?
What are you blabbing about, man?
He's been talking to the blur?
That was weeks ago.
Yes, he sort of confides in me. Of course he does.
What the hell are they talking about?
Late. Lois, you are way beyond late, okay? You just need to slow down.
Oh my gosh, he's pregnant.
There's something that you need to know. He is the only one who can help me escape from the jaws of crouching tigers. I'm sorry, Chloe, whatever it is.
What the hell are you talking about? Okay? Why are you talking in code?
I need to
drop. What the hell, man?
You know what? You're right.
What the shit are you talking about?
I'm on the noggin and now I'm flipping out. I think I could use a sedative. It's been kind of a long day.
Yeah, you could.
I'll get you two.
So now you're a social sedative taker?
Okay. I could use a Valium.
Okay, so this ninja chick is Kryptonian, right? And she shows up to fight Clark in the barn. Which, you know, we've established a long time ago on Smallville. When you fight, all you do is pick each other up and throw each other to collapsible furniture, plywood, glass tables, etc. But this time, this chick lands on a skewer thing and is impaled.
That was her own sword.
That was
her own sword.
Oh, it was? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah,
how was it sticking up?
She didn't know to, like, let it go or tuck and roll. She just stabbed herself midair. I don't quite...
How did that... I don't understand how it happened.
Yeah,
but
she's such a coordinated ninja chick. How the hell did she stab herself?
I'm just
going to
say
heart?
It was a tragic accident. That's what it was.
That happens when engine blocks hit you.
And the reason it was tragic is she didn't really get any information through except that Clark has doomed the world and he's an asshole, basically.
And she didn't get to take out her contacts. That was sad.
Wham, I wake up in a monorail car with some ninja chick after me.
Yeah, good times. Now here, you know, remember last season, Clark is like, the only way I could be a, like, super and wear a black trench coat, stand on the Statue of Liberty, real cool, and it's like mimicking the scene from Batman Begins.
Yeah, it's like he's the Dark Knight all of a sudden.
Is by not talking to you, Chloe, not having friends. So I want to know how they get Terrence Stamp to do the voice for Jor-El all the time.
He needs money.
Yeah, no, I love that. That guy's a fantastic actor. The only thing I can think is it pays well. That's what I'm thinking.
Like, I actually like, well, you know, I actually like Callum Blue doing Zod.
Yeah, I've seen that guy in other places. Remind me where I know him from.
He was in Dead Like Me. He was Mason.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right away, I know who that is now. Okay.
Yeah, he was in, you probably never watched it, but that Secret Diary of a Call Girl.
Yeah, I've watched a few of those.
He's in that.
I watch it with the sound down, but in the middle of the night. But yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. Yeah, Billy Piper.
Everyone's
parading around as the whore. Good stuff.
Good, awesome show. So here, finally, Chloe catches up to Clark, who doesn't have anything to do with her because he's brooding and he wears a black trench coat. Did I mention that, guys? And he stands on the Statue
of Liberty. He wears a skin-tight black T-shirt with the Superman logo on it.
Yeah, that's really cool, isn't it?
And apparently he's taken to burning the logo into every situation he enters.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's a part where he burned the logo into the train, the monorail.
Yeah.
Blaine the Mono, I guess. He catches it and takes off immediately. When did he have time to burn that in there?
No, what I thought it was the ninja chick burned it to get his attention.
No.
I don't know. She was unconscious.
Because he burnt it on the side of the building or whatever as he left, and then he's up on top the skyscraper.
Because there was someplace else where he did it too, and I was like, wouldn't he? I guess
he did it
at really
the Green Arrow's Fight Club.
Yeah. Oh, that was the best. He was there for a millisecond, right? And he burnt that in. How great
he's
was
like,
that?
Yeah, like, I didn't save anybody, but I just want to make sure I was here.
Yeah, he's taking credit for shit. All he did was crash through the wall or some shit. But
since it's no longer the red-blue blur, he's...
Now, I want to... Okay, so Ollie is really upset at himself. He failed. Jimmy's dead. So he's going to join a fight club, right?
Yes.
Awesome. I think he started the fight club.
So you're
telling me...
Oh. And so
like
here...
he brings people in to fight him.
Nice,
to
awesome.
To kick his ass.
So here's what happens. Lois shows up there and she goes, I need to go talk to him. I'm going to put on this ridiculous outfit and be a ring girl.
And this enormous wig.
Yeah. Awesome. I love Smallville. Now let's check out the scene where Chloe pleads with Clark to go back in time with his ring and
make sure Jimmy
stays alive. Let's check this out. It's
because
awesome.
Jimmy was so important.
Let's see if the background music ever stops.
It's over.
Who was she?
I don't know. I have a feeling I'm going to find out. She's from Krypton.
Krypton?
What
I don't
that?
Understand. What was she doing here? What did she say?
She told me that I would cause the end of the world.
She called me a dick and started trying to kill
it's
me?
It's like I have a ticking time bomb on me, Chloe, and I only have a year to figure out how to stop it.
You can't believe everything an assassin tells you. I mean, what does she know anyway, right?
Yeah.
The future.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
touche.
The future.
What is it, Chloe?
I want you to go back and save Jimmy. Take the ring and stop him from being killed.
No.
You can't ask me to.
Clark, you said that your sole purpose for giving everything up is so that you could dedicate your life to helping people.
Jimmy was annoying.
So help him.
Yeah,
Clark, save him.
That would be changing destiny.
Whose destiny? Not Jimmy's. You and I both know that. He didn't deserve to die, Clark. He died because you and I screwed up. Because we made a mistake.
It.
Now you have to fix it.
I'm not a god.
Whoa.
And the last time that I tried to rewrite fate, my own father died. He died right here in my arms because of me.
No, it was outside the barn. I remember that episode.
I give up so much for you, Clark. This is the only thing I've ever asked from you. Please. Please do this for me. Please save Jimmy.
I'm busy.
I can't.
It's good that you're embracing your Kryptonian side. There isn't really anything human left in you.
Yeah, so the stuff with Zod and the chick, well, I forget her name, Tess Mercer, she's there and she's like a prisoner and they're like sitting in chairs and they're being interrogated and then stuff happens. I didn't understand any of that.
No, it was so stupid. It's like all of a sudden there's flags up for the army of Kandor or whatever the they were. it was so absurd.
I didn't understand.
Was that when Major Zod became General Zod?
I don't know. oh, my God. Stop it. Stop it.
So, I've sacrificed more than any of you people.
My head is going to explode.
So, guys,
like, I'm on a planet, hostile planet, looking for survivors. It's like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
Disastrous.
Exactly, Dave. Now, Smallville, awesome. We'll talk about it more next week. We love that show. Right, guys?
Hate it.
Now, I want to talk about Californication. It's a show on Showtime with David Duchovny, and I think it's a really funny show. It can be raunchy, overly sexual.
It, like, it balances that whole raunchy, funny thing perfectly.
Right, it totally does. I mean, there's times where you might be a little disgusted.
Yeah, but it's still hilarious.
Funny. Yeah. Peter Gallagher's in the show this season, so is Kathleen Turner. Remember when Kathleen Turner was gorgeous?
Kathleen.
Remember that?
Kathleen Turner. She looks like she ate Kathleen Turner.
Remember when, like, body heat, and now the way she looks now?
Oh.
I mean, I know women get old and stuff, but she looks like a linebacker.
It's like some people look rode hard and put away wet. She looks like she was just rode hard and
she's been taking steroids or something. But what's funny is David Duchovny's agent, Charlie, he's got a really horrible life right now. He's getting divorced. He left his wife for a porn star who then left him, and he's just a big mess, right? The guy's a total loser, but it's funny.
He lost his job because he wouldn't stop masturbating in his office.
Yeah, they even had footage, a reel of it, like every day when he was masturbating.
Wow.
And so he's got a new boss, and it's Kathleen Turner. And Kathleen Turner likes him. Wants to have some sex with him. So let's go ahead and check out this very uncomfortable scene where she hits on him in a bar. It's awesome.
Times are tough, Rungle. I need you to sign Motherfist and put them to work. That's what I want. That's what you promised me.
Absolutely. You're right, Sue. You can count on me. I stepped away from the game for a little while, but I am back now. I'm just a little rusty.
Rusty? You mean like a trombone? Hey, anybody ever give you one of those?
I don't believe so.
Trust me, you remember. Analingus with a tug jump. I'll try it. What's your favorite position?
Sexually? I don't see how that's at all relevant.
I like a stand-up 69. You ever try it?
That sounds challenging.
Exactly. Which is why you end up coming like a baby gorilla. So, what's your take on the interloper?
I appreciate the interest, Sue. Really, I do. But I'm right in the middle of a nasty divorce. I'm what they call emotionally unavailable.
Emotions? What are your emotions? I'm thinking about your tube stick. Is that unavailable to you? Oh, you can play hard to get all you like, Ronco. Whatever makes you wet. But Sue Colini always gets the weenie. Always.
Shiver.
Oh, man.
I need something to clear my throat.
There's a moment when she is first introduced to Hank, the David Duchovny character, and she comes in and she's like blatantly flirting with Charlie Runkle again, and she leaves. David Duchovny goes, "What fresh hell is this?"
Yeah.
I just lost it.
What fresh hell is this?
Wow.
I'm thinking about your tube stick.
Yeah!
That show has so much comedy squeezed into a 20-minute block. It makes Entourage appear pathetic. Well, Entourage is pathetic
right now.
Californication is so much better than Entourage. Like, in that whole, like, odd California world.
Right.
Where everybody has money and they're all screwed up. And
how great was that when Hank goes to the dean's house and they have this new, what was this writer who was going to be start teaching at the college? And David Duchovny is like, "Hey, I'm going to have a drink with you, man." And he's like, "Oh no, I can't do that." He's like, "Come on." He pours him a drink. He's like, "All right." And he like chugs it down. He's like, "First drink I've had in like 17 years or something." The guy's an alcoholic.
First drink since Slick Willie was in office.
Right.
He's like, "Oh, F me."
And then he's like, "Give me the bottle." He's like, no, that's enough. And he grabs him by the balls and squeezes. He's like, "All right, you can have it." And by the time it's dinner time and they're serving, he is just wasted. He leaves the room and comes back naked. And he's like talking about young boys and stuff, and they're like, "Oh my god!" And
when was the last time you were with a 10-year-old boy and he didn't give as much as you wanted?
Yeah,
and it's like when
you were with a so-and-so aged woman and blah blah blah. He's like saying all this crazy stuff, and he goes, "You'll find out in my next book." And then he runs and he dives.
Let me do the pee-pee dance, and he tucks his junk back behind him and starts dancing around with his mangina. It's so gross and hilarious.
And then he dives like he's diving into a pool out the window and runs away naked. And
that dive was so perfect through the window.
That was hilarious. And the girl was like, he was huge. That was hilarious.
That's great.
It shows a lot of fun.
How they kept calling the Peter Gallagher character Dean Koontz.
Yeah, he's the dean of the school, but his last name. Yeah, he's the dean of the school, and his last name is Koontz. He's like, Dean Koontz? He's like, yeah, it's not the first time I've heard that. It was funny.
I wonder if the Hank character will sleep with his daughter's friend's mom.
Oh, totally. You know what's going to happen.
She's a very attractive woman.
I've always liked M. Beth Davids. She was awesome in Army of Darkness. Hello.
Yeah.
What about the kind words you spoke? That's just what we call pillow talk,
baby.
Now let's talk about Entourage, guys. And then we'll get into the news. Didn't you guys love the scene where Jamie's freaking out about going out of town and Turtle, he doesn't know how to feel, and then she goes on the airport, she goes to board her plane, and Turtle's crying, guys.
Aww,
awesome.
Poor Turtle.
Awesome. He's got this hot girl on his
Facebook. He rubs some salt in his eyes.
Awesome, guys. Now, you know, the one part I did laugh at, I laughed out loud, is I've got this clip here when Johnny Drama goes to his Melrose Place audition and Dean Kane comes in. And he's like,
Superman.
He's like, it's effing Superman. Let's go ahead and check out the scene where basically Johnny blows it.
Johnny Chase, everyone.
Okay. Hey, everyone. We're sorry to keep you waiting, Johnny. Technical problems with the camera.
Oh, that's okay. Just as long as you weren't freezing me out, because this guy's still mad at me.
Why would he be mad at you? Last time John auditioned for me, one of my colleagues kept checking his email. John got a little upset.
Yeah, but it's okay now. You could talk in the middle of my audition. You could scream and yell, whatever. Nothing phases me anymore.
Well, that's good, Johnny, because we don't want to try and phase you. Just relax. Everybody here is hoping that you're the guy. In fact, I'm going to turn this off right now so there's nothing to distract you, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's do this.
I can hear that sound on the iPhone.
Okay, let's do it.
2 seconds.
Here we go.
All right, gentlemen, let's do this. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm here early. Nobody was...
That's okay, Dean. We're just running a little bit behind, and we'll be about 5 minutes.
All right, so I'll just wait outside. Great. Hey, Drama.
Dean.
Good luck, man. Sorry.
Okay, here we go.
He's testing, too. I thought it was just me.
Don't worry about Dean, John.
Fucking Superman.
Hey, you're gonna do great. It's your job to lose. Okay, let's do it.
God, I haven't auditioned in like 3 years. Do you guys mind if I just step out for a second?
We're kind of on a tight schedule.
I'll be right back.
Hey, John. That's a meltdown.
Uh-huh.
Come on, Johnny. You got to get back in there.
Bro, I can't.
What was with the weird audio in this scene?
I think I'm having a heart attack.
Just take a deep breath. You know you only have to panic.
Somebody really likes the Eurythmics.
Back to my life. This isn't a panic.
Sweet dream,
Johnny. Yes, Johnny.
I think I pissed myself.
Oh, he pissed himself.
Okay, Johnny, I'm coming.
But why is he so echoey? He's in a pool, but it wouldn't be that echoey. Come on.
It's an indoor pool.
Oh.
I have been speared by Mayan warriors.
Awesome.
He was threatened by that.
I love Dean King.
Son of a bitch.
And whatever. Entourage. Entourage.
Yeah.
And hey, the stuff with... Malcolm McDowell, you guys interested in that stuff, that storyline?
Nah.
Not so much. And you guys know that Turtle and Jamie Lynn are dating in real life. You guys care? No, not so much.
No.
You guys care about that?
No, the only thing that cracked me up is if he does buy the other agency, Lloyd then works for him again.
Yeah.
Rainbow.
I liked how Lloyd was hiding. He's like, Lloyd, if you're in here somewhere... Yeah, that was crazy.
I like a stand-up 69. You ever try it?
Guys, let's do the news!
I'm really shaken up from this. I need some weights and a chicken sandwich, stat.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
I wish that's how I reacted to bad situations. Instead, I just eat a quart of ice cream.
Stat.
Makes you nauseous.
Give me some Chunky Monkey, stat. All right. In York, Nebraska, flowers were everywhere. The York Walmart Supercenter hosted its first wedding Saturday when Crystal Newsom and Robert Vic Vickery exchanged vows amid the hanging baskets and seasonal foliage in the lawn and garden department.
Oh.
We had our first kiss at Walmart, Crystal recalled. Robert has been with Walmart for 12 years and is a grocery department manager. With 5 years behind her at the company, Crystal's the deli manager. Friendship blossomed into romance about 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
How can you not deny friendship and romance at a Walmart? Robert has 3 grown children and 4 grandchildren. Crystal has 4 children. Her oldest son is 6 years old. How old is Robert? I have 4 grandchildren already. Good Lord, man.
Jesus.
Robbing the cradle. But I wasn't aware that Walmart could host weddings in its lawn and garden department.
Me either.
Wow.
I wonder if it's next to the bags of manure.
I wonder how much it costs to have a wedding there.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look into it. Next time I'm going to have a wedding. I need to do that. Or the first time I have a wedding.
If you forget to buy a wedding gift, hey, you're right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, I'll be right back. Zip on over to aisle 4.
Hey, do you have a coffee maker? All right, Stuart, Florida. Man is chased, facing charges after authorities said he was naked and covered in feces when he broke into a resident's backyard and jumped into the pool.
He's quite the douchebag.
Yeah, Martin County Sheriff's Office report shows 21-year-old Robert Stark Higgins was charged with burglary and an occupied dwelling, disorderly conduct, and misdemeanor theft. The residents told deputies he heard Higgins crash through the screen of his pool and take a splash Saturday night. Authorities say Higgins took a towel and fled. That's where the burglary charge comes from?
The theft charge.
He stole a towel, that bastard. Deputies used a canine to track Higgins to a home. So they basically went, smell the shit, boy. Smell the shit. Now find him. Higgins told deputies he'd been drinking. He's being held at Martin County Jail on $10,000 bail. I want to know how he got covered in shit.
Yeah, what the hell is that part about?
That's the story. A Vermont woman is facing multiple sex charges after allegedly sending pornographic material involving animals to a teenage family member's phone.
Always gets the weenie.
Ah. Yeah, apparently it was a donkey weenie.
Oh.
Brenda Reed, 40, is accused of sending multiple pornographic images involving donkeys to a 13-year-old relative last May.
Jesus.
Oh, man, the victim's guardian reported the alleged incident to the Department of Children and Families after seeing the images on the victim's phone. Simmered Reed pleaded not guilty to 6 counts of disseminating indecent material to a minor and appeared in court Monday morning to answer the charges. It will either resolve in a plea agreement or a variety of other ways, including a potential for trial, the prosecution said. Her lawyer argued that others had access to the phone and that the images may have not been sent by her. Oh, well, that's a good argument there.
Special agent in charge of bugger all.
I thought bestiality was illegal. Can you make bestiality porn and then send it to people?
I don't think so.
So where's that charge?
Trust me, you remember.
All right. This is interesting. In Akron, Ohio, some capers should be easier to crack than others, and this robbing spree distinctly falls under that category. A 300-pound man wanted for a string of armed robberies has hit a few more joints this week, logging 3 heists in a mere 12 hours.
Whoa.
Now narrow down the search by the fact that you're looking for a 300-pound man, and further whittle the focus down after realizing that his targets have been a Kentucky Fried Chicken and 2 Church's chickens.
Nice!
If it wasn't apparent for his girth, now you know that the man not only digs money, but digs his fried chicken.
Hell yeah. Does he eat first and then rob it after he's done?
Yeah, that's what I would like to know. I wonder if there's any Popeye's chickens in the area. They should just stake that place out.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Popeye's, they probably have an empty cash register because they're out of chicken, right? Or did they?
Yeah, that happens a lot at Popeye's.
I think they all bad because I'm sure hungry.
There he is right there.
Can't get that bucket in now.
Worcester, Mass., a Massachusetts man, has been sentenced to 18 months in prison for stealing a hot dog from a man as he sat under a tree at a city park.
What?
Wow. Wow.
Antonio Judd pleaded guilty Monday in a Worcester Central District Court to charges including larceny from a person, as opposed to a baby or a dog. Judge said...
Hot dogs are slamming.
Police said Judd stole a hot dog from a man in Elm Park in Worcester in August after flashing what appeared to be a gun. A police report said Judd grabbed the hot dog from the victim and began to devour it, spilling mustard all over his shirt. Well, that's a good detail.
So the guy had a hot dog and this guy came and stole it? I mean, did he just grab it from him?
Yeah, he just grabbed it and ate it.
That's not cool. Because I was thinking maybe the guy nodded off while holding his hot dog and he woke up and it was gone. But he like physically...
Yeah, he flashed a gun at the guy and took his hot dog.
Oh.
Always gets the winning. Or
they thought it was a gun.
It was Kathleen Turner!
It was.
Oh,
it wasn't
God.
A man.
Always gets the winning.
I can understand how she could be mistaken for a man.
I don't think that's actually Kathleen Turner anymore.
You have tried?
I think it's like Men in Black whenever the alien wears the Edgar suit.
Do you think when she took the hot dog, she said this?
I'm thinking about your tube stick.
Ah! Ah!
It's delicious.
Oh, my God.
I'm really shaken up from this. I need
Turns
some
out this guy who wasn't Kathleen Turner. Has been sentenced to prison at least 3 times for offenses, including assault and vandalism. So he just wanted to chalk another one up.
Ah.
Hot dog. No, I'm sure it wasn't an all-beef hot dog, Gene.
Disastrous.
All right. Apparently this teenager saw Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Awesome. Because a Redding, Washington teenager who ran from an officer during a traffic stop this afternoon was found hiding in a refrigerator at a Montero Lane residence.
Oh, no. They were reenacting that scene?
Yeah, I guess so. He was waiting for the bomb to drop so he could ride the fridge.
Oh, my God.
An officer stopped the 17-year-old driver for a speeding violation The boy ran away. The officer lost track of him after he climbed over a fence in the area. Police set up a perimeter in which to search and called in the California – oh, I'm sorry. This is California Highway Patrol helicopter.
Indiana Jones.
They called in a helicopter to find a 17-year-old who ran away from a speeding ticket.
What?
Why wouldn't they just wait for him to go home? Officers tracked him down to the residence on Montero Lane. He refused to come out. Officers forced their way inside, and he was found inside the refrigerator in the garage.
Oh, my God.
The youth was booked in the Shasta County Juvenile Hall.
What? What's going on?
That's the helicopter they called it. Oh, my God, they dropped the bomb.
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
Oh, my God, the helicopter crashed after that?
I can't believe it. Steven, where did you find this information?
I don't see how that's at all relevant.
I don't remember.
And last story I want to cover is not particularly crazy or anything. It actually has to do with gaming. The PSP Go was released this week. Sony's attempt at, I guess, taking the market away from their PSP, you know, which is actually larger and uses a certain type of media called UMD, whereas this PSP Go is not only smaller than the original PSP.
Ridge Racer!
Yeah, it doesn't have a UMD slot, so you can't play any of your original PSP games on it.
What? Oh, I've seen this thing. Yeah.
It looks like the Milo.
Yeah, it does.
Exactly. It does. It has the same design as the Sony Milo. It's smaller. The screen is smaller. Everything is – it's just absurd why they would ever – do this. And the fact that you already own games for the PSP, yet you can't use them on this new PSP?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, and the screen is 3.8 inches instead of the 4.3 inches of the original PSP.
So it's even smaller screen? What?
Yeah.
Who would buy
you
this?
You have to have really small hands to use it because it's actually smaller than the original PSP. They changed the analog stick location to more inside of the unit. You can only get your games on it by downloading off the PlayStation Network. And get this, they didn't even put an 802.11g wireless card in it. They put 802.11b. So it doesn't matter how fast your connection is, you're limited to the 802.11b speeds.
What
so it's going to take like
this?
40 minutes to download a gigabyte game.
What?
It's just slow. It's cumbersome. It's absurd. And they're charging more for it than you can get for an original PSP. They're charging $250 for this thing. You can pick up an original PSP bundle for $200, and you can still play all your original PSP games in it.
That doesn't sound smart.
No, it's really – it. Sony continues to make these business decisions that are just worthless, and it's a slap in the face to anybody that already owns a PSP.
Just baffling mistakes.
That would be barbaric.
Yeah, and they're so excited about this thing. Like, oh, this is big. This is huge. No, it's not. It's absurd. Stop it.
Wow.
Stab.
The strippers.
Yeah. And you can't, you know how like on the PS3, if you're downloading a game, you can download it in the background and continue to do what you're doing? Nah, not on this.
Wow.
You can't do anything else. You just got to download. It's so stupid. I don't understand what the hell Sony's doing.
Does it have a hard drive in it or something?
No, you have to get – it doesn't come with a memory card. You have to buy a memory card.
What the hell?
Yeah, you know how – if you buy a PSP 3000, which is $200, $50 less, and it comes with a movie and a game and a 4-gigabyte memory card. This, nothing.
I think I paid myself.
So – There's absolutely no reason to buy it. I don't understand why Sony's doing it. That's it.
Wow.
And that's news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
I started sweeping.
Oh. All right. What do you guys say we do some DVDs, huh?
DVDs! HD Blu-ray! Send it up for Deshaun! DVDs! Yeah!
Hell yizzle! What's up with the DVDs, Bill?
Oh, I'm sorry. It does have 16 gigabytes of internal storage, but... What good is that going to do you if you can't play your games on it? DVDs for this week. October 6, 2009. Did you like my dramatic pause there?
Yeah.
I learned that from Smallville.
I like that.
Always gets the winnie.
Yikes, she's scary. All right, first DVD, Anvil. The story of Anvil.
Anvil. Oh, those things always fall on your head if you're
a
cartoon
character.
No, I
guess this is a Canadian rock band.
Oh. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, there's a documentary about them.
I think I tore my sack.
And from what I understand, it's completely serious.
Really?
Yeah. It's not even like a, you know, like a Spinal Tap. It's serious about this band who had, like, maybe one moderate hit in the States, and I don't really remember them very well.
My God, this is becoming surreal.
I couldn't tell you the name of their song, but I mean, I remember the
song. But from what I understand, it's good. It's interesting. Even if you're not a fan, it's still quite a interesting movie to see these guys try to rebuild their careers.
I'm still waiting to watch that Metallica documentary. I haven't watched that yet. I'm just going to watch that.
Oh, there you go.
What is it called? All right, moving on.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
They're like good therapy and stuff. Whatever. Moving on.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Rainbow.
Next DVD is a film I've been wanting to see for a while now. Assassination of a High School President.
Assassination?
Yes.
Wham, I wake up in a monorail car with some ninja chick after me.
Oh, that sounds like an interesting movie.
Yeah. It's it says, how far would you go to hang out with the hottest girl on campus? Sophomore newspaper reporter Bobby Funk is assigned to write a cover story on a popular class president and top athlete. After a stack of SAT tests is stolen from the office of a hard-as-nails principal, played by Bruce Willis, Funk publishes an expose that names... the popular person is prime suspect, and suddenly this kid's in all kinds of trouble. So
I want to punch him in his throat, you know?
He has to deal with all kinds of craziness, and it sounds good.
Awesome.
I understand, it got pretty good reviews, and it didn't get much of a wide release, and people were upset about that, so now's the time to check it out.
I don't see how that's at all relevant.
They say it's like Rushmore meets The Usual Suspects.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Who directed it? Anyone we've heard of?
No, I think it's from a first-time director. It actually doesn't say right here. Let me look at the back of the DVD. Brett Simon.
And the movie is called what again?
Assassination of a High School President.
Ah.
Are you kidding me?
Awesome. We'll check it out, Steven.
President or principal?
President.
Okay.
El Presidente.
Like a high school, you know, class president.
Okay.
Okay. I like that little segue. That's interesting.
Wow. Wow.
All right, next DVD on Blu-ray and DVD, a re-release of the... Takashi Mike, as you like to call him.
Takashi Mike!
Mike film Audition.
Which
is a really, really effed up movie.
Yeah, no, no. Not for me, guys. Sorry. I'm going to be waiting in the car until the movie's over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You crossed the line, man.
Sorry.
Gosh,
I just
might cross the line.
Movie's disturbing as shit, man. What are you going to do?
It is very disturbing.
I think I peed myself.
Yeah, I peed myself when I watched that, Bill.
Oh, my God.
It's very upsetting, Steven.
I'm really shaken up from this. I need some weights and a chicken sandwich, stat.
I'm really concerned about him.
Yeah. A chicken sandwich always gets me through Takashi Mike movies, guys.
And yeah, some weights.
Yeah. We got a dumbbell on one hand, chicken sandwich the other. Doing curls. All right, Bill, what other DVDs do we have?
Okay. To capitalize on the death of Jim Carroll, looks like they rushed out a new copy of the Basketball Diaries.
When the hell did he die?
He died like 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
wow,
I had no
really?
Idea. No,
yeah,
no clue.
I almost posted that song he did with his band. The
People Who Died?
Yeah.
All my friends.
The dead.
And they died.
Yeah. But yeah, he did. He died like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Wow, how did he die?
I think it was natural causes, honestly. Or maybe it was cancer. Let me look. Jim Carroll. It'll come right back up here. Died September. Oh, died September 11th, 2009. There you go.
Wow.
Heart
I'm
attack.
Concerned about him.
Don't be concerned, Dave, because he's dead.
So he died at 60 years old, died at a heart attack. It was announced on September 13th. He died at his desk while working.
Huh.
This just ain't right.
Poor Jim Carroll. Well, at least he got over all of his drug stuff, right?
Well,
a long time ago.
I assume he did.
he did
certainly didn't. The last picture he ever was in, he didn't look particularly good.
Well, he's probably, unhealthy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, who am I to assume?
Trust me, you remember.
Huh? What does that even mean?
I have no idea.
No, but
exactly.
So they're re-releasing the Basketball Diaries. And
yes, they are.
I've watched the movie once and watched parts as it's been on Showtime and stuff. I can't watch that movie. Movies about drug addicts and how they get over all that shit. It's so hard to watch.
It's a good movie, though.
It's
really
a good movie,
is.
Yeah.
And,
but I watched it once. I can't watch it again. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't speak well in front of crowds.
I can't remember. I can vaguely remember bits and pieces of it, but it's been so long.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, I wanted to punch him in his throat, you know?
Hey, right, what the hell is that?
He's dead.
Here's a movie that I would like to punch the writer-directors in the throat. Dance Flick by the Wayans Brothers.
Oh, Jesus.
Get this. I love reading the writers on it. Marlon Wayans. Keenan Ivory Wayans. Sean Wayans, Damon Dante Wayans, and Craig Wayans?
Huh?
I didn't know there was a Craig Wayans.
Are these like now their kids are making movies with them now?
I think so.
We got us Little Wayans. Little Man is in this too.
I never heard of Damien Dante Wayans.
That must be Damon Wayans'
Damon's
son.
Damon's son?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea.
This
but...
I mean, I'm not... I just...
Come on, God. Answer me. For years, I'm asking you why. Why are the innocent dead and guilty alive? Where is justice? Where is punishment? Or have you already answered? Have you already said to the world...
They must die!
Here is justice. Here is punishment.
Kill the Wayans! That's what I think God is trying to tell him, right?
Yeah. And Damon Wayans Jr. is the star of this one.
Who was the star?
Damon Wayans Jr.
Whatever happened to Keenan Ivory? What the hell happened to him?
He's still there. He's writing, producing, directing.
What happened to like movies like I'm Gonna Get You Sucka that were actually good?
Yeah, it was actually funny, man.
And now they're making all these flick movies that just suck ass.
It's just rolling in the dough, man. And it's they all suck, and they know
they
suck.
They think they can write the airplane type movies.
I think the first Scary Movie had some funny laughs in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a part where he's like beating the crap out of Anna Faris, and he's like elbow dropping on her. That was hilarious. Parts like that.
I would have to say the first two Scary Movies were decent.
Now the second one was really bad, but it had some laughs in it.
Which one?
Dave Cross's part in there was pretty funny.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like when he's doing his wheelchair and he's spinning the tires.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's stupid, but it's still funny. Yeah, but these movies are just stupid. Oh.
I started sweeping.
Exactly. What is he
talking about?
All
right, next DVD is Dark Country.
Dark Country.
It's the directorial debut of Thomas Jane.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I heard about this. He filmed it because he wanted it to be in 3D, released in theaters 3D, then straight to video. So he's screwed.
Yeah, well, at least he's doing something.
Oh, yeah. I think that Thomas Jane, like, I've seen interviews with him. He's a funny, crazy guy.
He really is.
I think he's more interesting than a lot of the parts that he takes in movies.
Yeah, too bad his show Hung is pretty much terrible.
You know, I've tried to watch. I couldn't get into it, man. I tried Thomas. I'm sorry.
You know where the biggest problem in the entire show is the woman that plays his pimp.
Yeah.
The neurotic chick, she is just so irritating. I can't. It's and the writing is just terrible.
But the
fact that you buy that he would have slept with her.
No, here's the problem.
I
don't have no problem with any of that stuff. My problem is it's boring.
Yeah,
well, that too.
It could easily be HBO's Californication, but in a middle America sense.
It just
doesn't have the writing.
I don't know what's going on, but you know what? Bored to Death with Jason Schwartzman, the first two episodes. I like that show. I have
them on my DVR. I need to watch them. I'm looking forward to
totally
it.
Totally dig that show. I like it.
Isn't he? Is he like insane and?
No, his girlfriend dumped him, and he's bored, so he goes on Craigslist. He's really into detective novels, so he places an ad as a private investigator, non-licensed private investigator, call this number. So people call his cell phone and, like, want to find their missing girlfriend or is my boyfriend cheating on me. So he just follows, like, what he reads in detective novels as how to do things.
That's funny.
It's pretty funny. It's good stuff.
But, this Dark Country has, I guess it's kind of like a, let me see, two honeymooners rescue a mysterious car crash survivor in Las Vegas desert, but their decision to save the man becomes increasingly regrettable when he turns on them, forcing the newlyweds to do the unthinkable.
Oh my God.
And it's Ron Perlman, so... Could be. It's Thomas Jane and Ron Perlman.
I'll check it out. I want to see. Did it come out on Blu-ray?
No, it did not. It's just DVD.
The guy filmed it in HD cameras and 3D, and then it's released in standard definition.
Leave it to Sony Pictures Home Entertainment to slap it on in standard definition.
Wow.
This just ain't right.
For once, I agree with you, Tennille.
For once. Next DVD is a show that I pretty much watch anytime it's on Travel Channel, Man vs. Food.
Colorado, rack of lamb.
Oh, I get it. Traveling to Colorado for a rack of lamb. Oh,
yeah.
You guys see that? That's not a lamb. But that show is pretty cool.
No, Eugene's agreeing. Eat more lamb.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess he wasn't. Okay, so this guy's his name's Adam Richman, and he's kind of an asshole. He's not very funny, but he does. It's so cool because he travels around and tackles different places' most difficult eating challenges.
He's quite the douchebag.
Yeah, he goes to Memphis for this thing they call the Sasquatch Burger. That's enormous.
Nice. I'd eat that shit.
He goes to Quaker Steak and Lube in Pittsburgh to eat the Atomic Hot Wings, which are impossible. I touched my tongue to one of them many years ago and was in pain for the next 12 hours.
You crossed the line, man.
He eats a 13-pound pizza in Atlanta.
Oh.
Okay. But it's on DVD. There's really no reason to buy it. Just turn on the Travel Channel. They replay the episodes nonstop, pretty much.
And I've seen that show on Netflix, streaming in HD, man.
Excellent. There you go. That's about the only way you're going to see Travel Channel in HD.
That's true.
Rainbow.
And you really need to see this guy eating food in HD.
No, I don't. I really don't.
He's inhaling it. What the hell?
But what's cool is it's kind of like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, because he only kind of dedicates the last 15 minutes to the challenge, and he travels around where he is, showing all the different kind of dives and the food they have and everything.
I love Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Love it.
I love the show. Hate the host.
Guy Fieri. Fieri.
Whose real name is Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri. I can't say it the way he says it. I'm Guy Fieri.
Disastrous. Yeah. With his frosted tips and his backwards sunglasses.
I don't see how that's at all relevant.
Guys wearing sunglasses on the back of their head should be outlawed, just like guys who wear flat caps.
You know what's sad is it's a convenient way to keep your sunglasses.
I saw
in.
A flat cap today.
Flat cap. Oh, no, you did? Did you punch him?
I was sitting against the window of the air.
I wanted to punch him in the
airplane.
You know?
I walked down the.
Did you want to punch him in the throat, Steven?
Yeah.
Charlie Brooker says you should punch anyone with a flat cap, so.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I was just talking about this show this week, or this past weekend, when my family was here for my birthday. Mr. Ed, Season 1, was reminiscing about how great Nick at Night was when I was a kid, when they showed all these terrific black and white shows, and now they show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, come on, don't be knocking on the Fresh Prince.
Well, it's funny, my brother-in-law went, well, dude, you're getting old, and now these shows are... And I was like, no, when I was 9 and they showed shows from 1961, come on, there's like 30 years there.
You miss some, you miss some Bewitched, you miss some Gilligan's Island.
Well, what's great is during the day when I'm not working, WGN shows Bewitched and everything, and I love watching that. That's like my daily routine to turn on WGN and watch Bewitched and what else? I can't remember what else
there
is. I
remember summer break in elementary school. I would watch the hell out of Gomer Pyle.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I was a big Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes, which I could never watch the same way again after that movie
Autofocus.
With Greg Kinnear. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what always bugged me about Hogan's Heroes? Richard Dawson was supposed to be a British soldier, and he never did the accent. And they had this, like, they had their whole base underneath the concentration camp. And it was just, it's like, dude, you're in a concentration camp.
Oh. No, they were in a POW camp, not concentration.
Well, still.
But the one that got me was, you know,
you think
nobody
it was any
ever,
different for
nobody
them?
Ever escaped from it, but they were two different black guys. They played two different roles.
Yeah.
But nobody ever escaped.
No.
I don't see how that's at all relevant.
And it's always weird to watch Bewitched and see Dick Sargent as one Darren and Dick York is the other Darren. It's just like, wait, what's going on? I'm confused. But
Dick.
Mr. Ed Season 1. They want $40 for it.
Steven, which one was the first? Oh, I'm just kidding. Remember that?
Dick Sargent or Dick York?
Yeah, anciently, a long time ago.
Dick Sargent was the first one?
No, we're not even going to get it.
No, Dick York was the first one. Dick Sargent was the second one. You know, I thought Richard Dreyfuss said he was retiring from acting. But apparently he decided to come back in this epic film by Nia Vardalos called My Life in Ruins.
Rainbow.
get it? She's Greek. My life in ruins. She's in Greece.
You know what? I've seen, there's like a thing on HBO one night. It's like a special on it or something.
I supposedly this is like one of the worst movies ever made. Trying to replicate the My Big Fat Greek Wedding thing, yeah. And
she's been falls trying
flat
to do
on
it.
Her face.
She's been trying to do it since then. That's what always happens to everybody. They have a huge big hit, low budget movie. They try to keep remaking it.
What's funny is they even tried to, like, she got all skinny. It, like, she's like trying to be hot now.
Yeah,
like, maybe it's because I was like a kind of a chubby mess in the first one, but now I'm like all hot and. Work.
She does look hot, too, but it's like...
She does look attractive.
It's like if John Candy got skinny, it's like, not funny anymore, dude. Oh, sorry, he's no longer with us, but if he would have done that, he'd probably still be alive, but he wouldn't be funny, so...
Yeah, but I guess she gives, like, freaks and she's looking for love in all the wrong places.
I'm totally going to go see that movie, Steven. You want to go with me? Steven?
No.
I wanted to punch him in his throat.
Yes,
you know?
I do want to go see that with you. Yes.
All right.
We won't skip the obligatory chair between us. We have to sit right next to each other.
That's right. Let's share the same Coke, Steven.
Are you kidding me?
Now we went.
You know what's funny is I used to do that with my best friend. When we would go to the movies, we'd always leave one seat between us.
Yeah.
Like it was somehow like
less gay.
Yeah.
Eventually a chick's going to sit here and swear to you strangers. You know, it's like guys are so self-conscious. Like, if we're sitting next to each other, they'll think we're a gay couple. It's like, no one's paying attention to you, man. They're watching the movie.
I remember saying that to my friend Tim one time, and he's like, no, dude, we do that to keep the popcorn there. And I was like, you're such a liar.
You're homophobic, man. No, popcorn goes there. Big tub. You bought a small popcorn.
I've got the straight popcorn. Wow. I mean the popcorn.
I want the straight popcorn.
Get you and your homo popcorn away from me, man.
Next DVD, my choice, not necessarily yours, for DVD of the week, Not Quite Hollywood. This is a documentary all about the 70s and 80s Ozploitation films. All the crazy shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Australian, New Zealand films of the 70s and 80s.
The main thing like, I'm interested... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Like we were talking about, like Razorback is one of those films.
Well, on the trailer, I've seen they show glimpses of Mad Max, and there's scenes in it that I've never seen in the movie before, at least the American version that I've seen. There's like a couple of scenes that I've like never seen, so I'm like, what?
Yeah. In fact, it's a big. They use the original Mad Max poster where he's got like the sawed off shotgun and the police helmet.
Yeah, totally.
And all that on the poster.
I love Mad Max, the original.
Yeah, I can't get myself to delete it off my DVR. It showed on HDNet like a year ago.
Nice.
And I can't delete it. I can't do it.
What about now, Thunderdome? Have you watched that over and over again in HD?
No. But I probably wouldn't have that much trouble deleting that. But until I get Mad Max on like Blu-ray, I can't delete it.
Let me explain.
Okay. Explain.
Hearing wonky.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense now.
Brain broken.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Yopinizes.
I didn't know you would be so affected by this.
Awesome. Love that little guy, don't you?
So awesome.
You little guy. You know, oh my god, they needed him totally on the colony this season. Wouldn't that be awesome?
You know what would be awesome is if he popped up at night while they were sleeping and, like, fed them information.
Who run colony? Oh, no.
Only him.
He's like, dude, he's...
Master Blast!
He's hogging the solar panels. He's got that giant retarded muscular guy manning it. We can't get anywhere near it. Sucks, man.
It was Chris Burke.
Chris Burke on steroids.
That didn't
work. Like, they have this beastly man that he rides, and then they take, and then it's a Down syndrome kid. That doesn't make any sense.
Only him, leave.
And only him, leave.
Like, I wonder what made him want to emphasize leave. Maybe, I think he got it backwards. He should have emphasized him.
Yeah.
Only him leave.
Only him leave.
Hearing wonky.
Oh, yes. His hearing is wonky. That's why he didn't come out quite right. I got it.
He needs a new hearing aid.
No, but
all right, this one's for Steven.
Yes.
Red Dwarf, Back to Earth, the director's cut.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's on Blu-ray.
Sweet, man. Is that getting released in America on Blu-ray?
Yes, it is. Right here.
That is totally cool.
I was going to pre-order.
The boys are back, and while they're older, they're still none the wiser.
Way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
The crew discover a dimension-hopping Leviathan, but Rimmer is threatened with replacement by the new improved holograph Katrina. She's determined to guide Lister to his home planet, but no one is prepared for Earth 2009, where the hapless crew face death unless they can track down their creators.
Whoa. So you've seen this, Bill, right?
Yes, I have. And first two episodes are great. Last one could have done without.
It was just like stretched out, like they.
Yeah, it was stretched out way too long. But I'm still going to buy it on Blu-ray. You know, I have all the seasons on DVD. I might as well have this on Blu-ray.
That's totally cool.
So what is it? Only joking.
I don't know if I'm just giddy, but that's hilarious to me.
A white hole.
Totally.
All right, and last DVD.
So what is it?
Probably the one I will recommend to Rick, because I've heard nothing but terrible things about this movie. That's so evil. I'm sorry, Rick. But Year One with Jack Black and Michael Cera.
So what is it?
It's a film about cavemen who stumble out of the mountains into an epic journey of biblical proportions. One's a bumbling hunter, the other's a gentle gatherer. Together, they become unlikely participants in history's most pivotal moments. Wow, that just sounds hilarious to me.
Is a plum...
Yeah, I remember seeing commercials of this, and it's kind of like, okay.
I liked... when we went to the movie, eventually. And Emma went up to it. And thought that Michael Cera was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was pointing out, I like her.
He does look rather effeminate.
She's very beautiful, isn't she?
Your girl's so kind. Just like she knows he's ugly and just like, oh, she's beautiful.
He's special.
I like her.
You know what? I will watch the movie.
I'm going to watch it too. And if it's not out in Australia yet, we'll somehow get it to him.
Oh, is this the movie you're going to make Rick watch, you said?
Yeah, I think we should.
Year One.
It's new. It's coming out. We've heard it's terrible. Let's give it a chance.
Awesome.
Rainbow.
And Rainbow, Bill.
Okay, excellent.
This just ain't right.
No, it's not. And that's because we're at the end of the DVDs.
And see, really, when we're telling Rick to watch something, we're also telling our audience to watch it too. And then
they can laugh along with us and Rick.
Like, really, that Wolverine review is funny if you've seen the movie and then you're like, oh, yeah.
So I got to go get this movie, get drunk, and watch it so I can understand Rick.
Well, another thing is, I really want to... I like hearing people defend Wolverine. I think it's funny.
I'm telling you. I've told you, there are two or three guys I've worked with. Oh, it's a great movie.
I'm telling you, I would feel that same way if I took a screwdriver and jammed it in my ear. Maybe,
yeah.
You know, my brain. It's
better than being physically harmed.
Exactly.
I'm really shaken
up. Yeah, I love guys that are like, oh, yeah, it's a fun movie to watch with the family.
It is a fun movie to watch with the family if you're all making fun of it.
Yeah, it's so bad. The dialogue is bad. The effects are just... so subpar.
Sexually?
Oh, and I just want to bring this up. I saw this while I was looking for DVDs. This is quite possibly one of the most effed up business maneuvers I've ever seen. The Brothers Bloom, the film by Rian Johnson.
Right.
It should be coming out on DVD this week. But... because the studio is so greedy and want their money from it, they're only releasing it in the rental area.
What?
You will be able to rent this film, but not own it on DVD or Blu-ray until next August.
They honestly think that that really is going to augment their sales.
Yeah, they do.
That's just stupid.
They could only afford to do a limited release. It brought in $3.5 million, and they think if they do a rental-only release as an extension of the theatrical release, it'll build awareness for the movie so that by the time it hits DVD and Blu-ray on August 11th of 2010, it will sell more.
That's a long time away. Shouldn't it be on cable by then?
It'll be forgotten by then.
It'll be forgotten by then, and it's quite possibly one of the dumbest things I have ever seen.
I mean, if they waited a month and put it out,
why would you not put it out there, let people find it, and buy it?
I mean, wouldn't you? If you're going to do it, put it on the rental for a month and then release it, you know, to sell in a month.
That's what some studios have done, where they release it. Or, you know, you can rent it first for like a week and then buy it or something.
Yeah.
They don't even do that anymore.
Well, do you remember this reeks of the VHS era?
Right.
Where they would release a film for rental and then you wouldn't be able to buy it for at least 6 months.
Yeah. Or if you did, it would be like $90 or something.
Yeah. It's like, remember they would list them in the Entertainment Weekly and it would be like $99?
Yeah. It was just ridiculous because they didn't want you buying it.
I kept looking for that movie Delicatessen. And man, they wanted the $89.99 for it everywhere. I was like,
yeah.
Who's going to buy this on VHS for that?
They didn't want you to buy it. Yeah, that's why everyone had two VCRs.
If you put it on your Netflix queue, you'll be able to get it on Blu-ray or DVD, but you won't be able to buy it.
And that comes out Tuesday?
Yeah.
How many there's people who know how to do it are all going to copy it if they like the movie. Don't you agree?
Yeah, exactly. If you go on any torrent site... No, actually, I think it came out on September 29th is what the press release is saying. So it came out last Tuesday.
Okay, I'm totally going to put that on my Netflix queue, yo.
Yeah. So it's already available.
I really liked Brick, and this looks like a completely different movie from Brick, but definitely Rian Johnson.
Everything I've heard about this movie is that it's excellent.
Sweet. So the studio is just...
Or stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say right now as a big FU to Summit Entertainment? I'm going to go online and I'm going to download the Blu-ray copy of this and put it on the hard drive on my PS3 and watch it as many times as I want.
Oh, my God.
So FU on your stupid business practices.
Bill.
That's all I have.
I'm
stepping off my soapbox now.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? Screw those bastards.
I just think that's so stupid to do that to such a critically acclaimed film.
Yeah, it is pretty stupid.
I think I tore my sack.
Yikes.
All right, Bill, any more DVDs?
That's it.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs. Hey-ho!
Colorado, rack of lamb.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And
all right, everybody, that was episode 178 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com and find links to the forum and Mulberry Old School and to our email, which is at nimpodcast@gmail.com. I have to say, we had a new member join the forum, Bill, who said they always wanted to and they left a comment. It was nice. But at the same time, like, three people commented on last week's show. It's kind of sad,
I know.
Isn't it?
It makes me not want to participate. You're too good. You're too nice a person because you go like, hey, thanks for listening. I don't even – it's like, really? It's just – I can't get myself to post anything.
Well, yeah, you see three or you see one like on Wednesday.
No,
and then
I mean, I always love the Swiley posts. Swiley is awesome. You know, if there's something in there that catches my interest, I'll reply. I'm not saying that I don't like his stuff. I love Swiley. I always appreciate Mauser because he comments week after week. Positively Ken posts a lot when he can. I know he just got back from Iran a couple weeks ago.
I know, that's crazy.
You know, there's some really great fans we have on the forums, but people for some reason, I don't know. You enjoy the show, but you don't enjoy it enough to want to participate with us?
I guess not. I don't know. I guess whatever we talk about, maybe we say enough and it's not worth mentioning again, or I don't know.
or maybe we just like haven't said hit that pass. If we've missed a show that, or there's some show you want us to maybe check out.
Just hell, anything. If you say good show, keep it up. Hey, as long as you took the effort to join the forum and tell us, whatever. But some people, you know, they email us and that's cool too. Or on Facebook, they say something. But
yeah.
I guess last week's show was horrible or something.
I guess so. I thought it was particularly good. I liked it. I listened back to it, thought it was funny. So the three posts we had are from New York or NY Rock. I assume it's New York Rock.
Yeah,
who was the new person.
Which is
Mauser,
awesome.
Who we always have. Swiley. You. And then Mauser again tonight.
Oh, wow. Somebody else posted?
Well, Mauser twice.
Cool.
Well, I don't want to push everybody into the whole, you know, you're an asshole for not participating. Rowdy G, we always play on Xbox Live with Zell.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Great, not great guys. You know, I don't expect them to post on the forum, or I don't. You know, if they don't, that's fine. Yeah,
I'm doing an interview with Patrick,
and Patrick's Rowdy G, right?
Right.
Or at least I think he is.
Everyone uses a friggin' handle, Bill.
I know, but the handles get to be too much.
So anyway, join our forum and leave a comment, guys, huh? Hey! Also, call and leave us a voicemail, 1-206-202-3491. Wouldn't that be great, Steven?
Yes.
Oh, you know what was awesome? Noel from Film Rant was in the chat room last week. He, you know, he's at Greenwich Mean Time over in London.
Right.
And he was hanging out until he fell asleep. You know, or until he couldn't stay awake anymore.
That is awesome.
I just thought that was awesome that Noel was in there.
And I wish I give a shout out to the chat room. I always forget to every week, and I wish I could be in there. Now, Bill, I asked Robot Dave to be on the show, but as we all know, he's a little shy.
I don't speak well in front of crowds.
Yeah, poor guy.
I know.
The moment I can find Robot Dave, if he has a agent or like a website or something.
Dude, there's no way we could talk to that guy on the show and not laugh the entire time.
Well, no. What I want to do is I want to contact him, and I want to get the "you're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry." This is Dave.
He would think it was funny that we said he sounded like a robot.
I think so. I think he'd enjoy that.
For the first time, I don't think Emma has ever been here while we were doing the show, has she?
Maybe right at the end when we were
right at the end.
She said it.
She's sitting on my lap right now.
She said stuff on there before. I think
she has.
Yeah,
really?
I think she said hello.
Do you want to say hello, Emma? You're bashful, huh? No, just say hi.
Say hi, Mulberrians.
Oh, come on. We're live. Perform. Perform. Dance.
Dance, monkey. Dance.
Dance for us. Dance.
Yeah. Oh. I am.
I'm going to do an interview tomorrow with Patrick. It's for the college paper, and we're going to talk basically about the show and stuff. The main thing I'm kind of worried about is we're going to talk about how wide an audience we reach, and it's so hard to know because stats are so bad.
It really
is. I mean, we don't
really do any advertising or anything. It's just all word of mouth, I guess.
Well, we know we have like Marie in the Philippines. We have Rick in Australia. We have all you have to do is look at your Facebook.
Look at
the friends we have on Facebook, where they're located, and there you go.
We've got a huge Canadian and Australian following. That's all we need to know, right?
We've got quite a bit in the UK.
Awesome. But nobody here where we live likes us. No, I'm kidding. We got Rick, right?
Yep.
Rick from Fort Worth.
Rick from Fort Worth.
All right, guys. We need to end the show, so we'll see you next week. Right, guys?
See you later.
See you later.
Later.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. That was uncool, dude.
is a plum.
Now this is podcasting.
I'm thinking about your tube stick.
This just ain't right.